and welcome to this episode of the Swap Meet Podcast. My name is Daniel Hanlon.
My name is Niall McCann. I've just lost my voice.
Yeah, just before I press record, I should have waited a minute, really. Just before I press record, you had a cough thing happening and completely lost your voice.
One of them coughs.
Now it's just going to be me talking for 2 hours.
Could be the best thing that ever happened to the podcast, Dan.
I don't think so, man. You need conflict. And although I'm at conflict with myself sometimes, so...
We're all at conflict with ourselves.
Yeah.
That's the secret of life, isn't it?
Yeah, I just didn't think it would be this persistent. But, so, I hope everybody enjoyed the Velvet Underground thing we did. Listening back to it, I thought, I didn't let it be as freewheeling as usual. I think in my own head I was on fucking doing some BBC Four fucking thing.
It's like, a good thing. It's a good thing. We've managed to make our way through the Velvet Underground's personal history.
Yeah, and my hope would be that someone out there who wasn't that familiar with the stuff went and like listened to it, you know. But
went in to an orgy.
What the? Yeah. If we instill maybe the love of bondage sex in people out there, then
maybe suck that cock you've been meaning to for a while or something like that.
Or all those cocks.
All of them. Why limit? You're absolutely right.
Yeah.
What a fucking heteronormative bastard I am.
Heteronormative, yeah. That's a phrase that's been thrown around a lot recently.
Yeah, yeah.
It's our own fault, I suppose.
Well, it's our own fault for being so heteronormative.
Yeah, am I as normal as they get? I'm pretty fucking normal.
I don't know that I am. Do you know what I saw the other day? This isn't really the same kind of thing. But I was coming home, I was walking down Clonbrassil Street last Sunday, and there was
an
ambulance.
See fucking anything down there.
There was an ambulance stopped outside Gino's, it is now, Café de Paris. Gino's voted the number one takeaway in Leinster.
Yet, when you walk past, just saying, there never seems to be anybody in there.
I went there once.
Would you have voted it the best takeaway in Leinster?
Would not. Somebody spent quite a time sitting at a laptop, sitting with a laptop to get that applauded. So I suppose fair play, lads, but you're fooling nobody. There was an ambulance outside it, and it was kind of a backlog that was causing a bit of traffic disruption, but it's an ambulance, you know? There was obviously somebody, I think there was somebody in the Chinese that was having some difficulties, the Chinese above it. And there was a fella, 3 or 4 cars back in the line, leaning on his horn and rolling out the window.
And an ambulance.
At an ambulance. I recognise him, and I'll recognise him again. And it is my dearest hope someday he'll be in a profound piece of trouble. And I will be the only man on the street, and he'll be like, help me, help me! And I'll say, well, well, well. because there was a gang of like 4 or 5 lads walking down the far side of the street, on his side of the street. And they're kind of like, oh, it's a fucking ambulance. He's like, I got fucking... And I sort of stopped. And sort of turned around and outright faced him. And it just made him worse. He clearly was fucking looking at me and roaring like...
Really, yeah.
Not at me. Continuing to roar at the ambulance, but was roaring at me.
What does he think is going to fucking happen?
Square me square in the eye. I think it was, and I only copped this as he was driving away... It was a lady ambulance driver. And I think that was something to do with it. Because as he drove away, he was passing me and he let a roar out the window. That's what happens when you let blondes drive.
Oh, for fuck's sake. There are things I see around this town that just make me think. There's closed-mindedness, and then there's like
that is...
People have minds that are like fucking mousetraps or something. Like, you know, they're just like... Some of the shit that you hear people say, you just think the general public can really go and fuck themselves, like, you know.
He was absolute scum. But that's what put that in my head. I don't think he would have been like... I don't think... It was only as he shouted that, as he pulled away.
She wasn't driving the fucking thing. It was stopped so they could get someone into it.
Yes, exactly.
Oh, Jesus.
And there was nowhere for them to go. There was cars both sides of the street. Like, I don't know what he planned to get her to do. Like, what he would have done had he been driving the ambulance. What amazing fucking concept he would have come up with to put the ambulance out of people's way. This guy felt no shame. That guy, I guarantee you, was down the pub that Sunday evening. Telling his mates about the fucking great witticism.
And they probably thought it was hilarious, like.
Scumbag. Absolute scumbag. I would see him again. I'd recognise him again.
Note to start on. But
yeah, anyways. Yeah.
No, that's alright. But.
So there you go. Burt Reynolds is dead.
Are you a fan? What, has he done stuff that you like, Burt Reynolds? I've never seen Smokey and the Bandit.
That and everything you wanted to know about sex, but were afraid to ask.
Is he in that?
He is
the Woody Allen film.
Yeah, he's the controller of the sperm army. Do you remember? He's in the control room.
It's not a Woody Allen film I liked very much, I have to say.
The sheep bit, I didn't overly like that much. I thought he was skirting a fine line, but it just counted as worth watching the court jester bit. But the two tits, the tit smothering people and the sperm army guys, the sperm paratroopers, I thought they were hilarious. I just thought that was fantastic.
Do you know what? In the last year or so, I haven't watched any Woody Allen stuff. And I like the document.
It's a long time since I watched Everything You Want to Know About Sex.
Yeah, no, me too. Like, but I haven't. It's the same with the Louis C.K. stuff. It doesn't feel right to go and enjoy it.
He's
now.
Back.
I had 9 months, and apparently he was telling jokes about rape whistles or something. He's making some kind of connection with the phrase "clean as a whistle," and he was like, "Well, that doesn't really count for rape whistles, though." And you're just like, "How fucking little does this guy realize that this is not the time or the fucking subject matter for him now?"
A little bit tone deaf.
Yeah, it's bizarre.
Like, rape whistle will be no use around you, Louis, because you're tone deaf.
But it's fucking bizarre. Like, how can someone get something so fucking wrong?
He had a lot of guys telling him. You see, he came out. I would imagine it's because, you know, he came out in the thrust of that whole fucking Weinstein Cosby thing. And unquestionably what they did
trust
was
an unfortunate word to use there.
Even as I was saying it. But, you know, when you're hanging around in that company, you know, people can go, well, okay, right, it's probably not quite the same thing you did, Louis. And then maybe that's a short hop, skip and a jump to thinking, oh, well, I think people are pretty okay with it.
See, I'm a bit torn about it because I think if people are willing to part with their money to go and see him, then he has an audience, and these people are forgiving him, so fair enough, like, you know, but...
Yeah, well, that's true.
I've been in that comedy club he was on in, and there wasn't that many fucking people there. It's not a huge place or anything, but I did read reports of people who were there saying that if anyone had wanted to leave, particularly women, if they'd wanted to leave...
Mm.
It wouldn't have been the easiest thing in the world, given the level of sort of appreciation the audience showed when he came out, particularly the dudes, like, you know, so people are saying, if you don't like it, then just leave, like, and you're like, no, I think actually I'd rather know if there was a sex offender on the bill before I fucking bought a ticket, like, you know.
Is he an official sex offender? Is he on a register anywhere or anything?
I don't know, but I mean, fucking apples and oranges, isn't it? That's the wrong phrase, but you know what I mean.
I know what you mean, yeah. It's, we see, yeah, it probably wouldn't have been the easiest. I still think probably...
Like, less than a year ago, Bill Cosby did stand up somewhere. Yeah. At a benefit, like, in a small place, like, you know.
Yeah.
But I personally would like to know if that's what I was buying a ticket to. I get it that in these New York clubs, that's kind of how they work. And that's one of the great things about these comedy clubs in New York. You could pay your money and just say, I've never heard of any of these people, but it might be a good night. And Jerry Seinfeld could turn up, like, you know.
Yeah.
But
Have you paid for the ticket, yeah?
Yeah, you've paid for the ticket. Like, Louis would have been just like, would have gone in and said to the MC, let me get up and do 20. Yeah. Like, when I was at the Comedy Cellar in New York, Judah Friedlander was supposed to be the headliner, and it turned out to be Todd Barry. It was, so the lineup was switched at the, sorry?
Is that good or bad for you?
Oh, Todd Barry was very funny, yeah, I really enjoyed him. I was interested to see Judah Friedlander.
Bono's got a nice house. Yeah, I'm sorry, I'm remembering a special that you saw from.
Oh, that's right, that's, what was that called again? I can't remember.
I can't remember, it's Todd Barry's special, you'll find it.
Yeah.
If you go looking for it, listen up!
But he's, one of his really early albums has a bit on it where he talks about that thing where when you're checking out of a hotel, they ask you, did you rent any movies while you were there? Like, you know, because you know the way you used to be able to rent them just on the TV?
Mm-hmm.
And they were like, yeah, there's a number of movies rented here that you need to pay for. And he's like, well, I didn't rent any movies. And they said, you know, they say that thing where it's like, well, did anyone else have access to the room, sir? you know what? I did give a key to Siskel and Ebert. Maybe it was them. He did it better than that. He was like, do you know who did have a key? Siskel and Ebert.
I do love their movies.
I was saying that I was expecting Judah Friedlander and it got swapped around. And Todd Barry, who was supposed to be on the later show, was headlining the first show. So it's not unheard of for these things to change at the last minute. But I think, like, if you were in there and all of a sudden it turns out that fucking Woody Allen was in, you might want to know beforehand just to see if you want to stay or not for that fucking shit show. Like, you know,
it seems very quick, doesn't it?
It's too, yeah. And I'm saying it now. It's too quick. Too quick. Fucking wise up, Louis. And sorry, you won Louis. From Kick-Ass. What's that actress's name? The younger actress.
Oh,
Chloe something.
Chloe Grace Moretz.
Yeah, she is in that film that Louis made just before all this. I think it's called I Love You, Daddy. I read some article the other day where she was saying, yeah, I kind of hope that doesn't come out now.
I like her. She's super cool.
I don't know anything about her except the fact that she was in Kick-Ass.
And 30 Rock. She was brilliant in 30 Rock.
Who was she in 30 Rock?
She was Jack's nemesis. Way better than Devin Bass.
Yeah, that is her, isn't it? Yeah, she's brilliant in 30
Rock.
That's
mostly why I like her, really.
I didn't put that together. Kick-Ass. Yeah, that is her.
She's brilliant.
I didn't put that together. That's true. That is fucking her in that. She's brilliant in that, yeah.
She's phenomenal.
And what was she, fucking 12 or something in that?
It's best not think about it, really. Yeah.
But I mean, no, but she wasn't, it wasn't a fucking sexual role or anything. She was a schoolgirl, like.
No, but it was, wasn't 12. But she was, that was kind of what made it funny. She was operating like Jack, but she was like this teenage girl.
She was brilliant in that, yeah.
She was fantastic.
Fucking 30 Rock, man. When you look back on that show, so good.
Bill Cosby, they called him out.
Did they?
Harvey Weinstein, they called him out.
I didn't know that.
Well, when Jack wanted to get Tracy to re-sign his contract... I'm sorry, I keep fiddling with my computer, but it's just to stop it going into standby, so when we need clips...
It doesn't matter if it goes to standby, or well, we anyway, just open it again.
Yeah, but then...
it's not a bomb.
God knows how long that will take in the middle of a thing. But when Jack needed Tracy to re-sign his contract, he got a guy who could do a Bill Cosby impression to call him up.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
And then when Tracy answered the phone, you got some nerve calling me after what you did to my Aunt Janelle in 1976!
Wasn't that Twofer?
No, it was some guy in the accountancy department.
Oh, yeah, that's
a great Bill Cosby! And then there was the Jenna one where she's trying to explain how much integrity she has by saying, you're talking to a woman who... What is it? You're talking to a woman who has twice turned down sexual advances from Harvey Weinstein, out of five.
Is it Weinstein or Weinstein?
I think it's Weinstein. Weinstein. It's fucking trouble is what it is.
Trouble is what it is. That is true.
I watched.
He is the kind of guy who would give shit to a lady ambulance driver.
Yeah, he probably is, actually. He's the kind of guy who gives shit to everybody. Apparently Guillermo del Toro can't even fucking say his name. And, like, that wasn't a sexual thing. That was, like, he fucking destroyed one of his films. It's because of Mimic,
wasn't it?
Yeah.
Which, like, I enjoyed.
I've never seen it, but apparently he was put through the ringer so much during the making of that. He was just like, fuck this guy, fuck Hollywood, fuck Miramax, like, you know.
The thing about Mimic is it does not come across in any way, shape or form as a Guillermo del Toro film. It just doesn't seem like one.
They say that, isn't the same true of Pacific Rim? I've never seen Pacific Rim.
I saw Pacific Rim. I thought it was pretty boring.
All that Crash Bangy stuff's all boring.
Is it?
Yep.
There's a lot of...
I've solved it.
There's a lot of not bad stuff like that.
I was talking about this. I remember when Moonlight was out, and I was living in Ithaca, and myself and Kat were going to go and see it.
It's good.
I've never seen it, because she was saying... I don't really want to go to the bother of going to the cinema to see one of these kind of films. Like, you know, I'd be a bit bored, and it's better watching it at home or whatever. It's like, really? If I'm watching a film where it's just nothing but stuff being smashed, I'm bored out of my brains. Like, you know, I nearly fucking expired during Man of Steel. Like, you know.
Oh, yeah, but listen, Man of Steel. Okay, you can't say, like, action films are shit because Man of Steel was shit. It was a shit action film.
That's... Yeah, but, I mean, what I'm saying is... I don't know what I'm saying, really.
I'm going to turn off the heat in here, sorry.
It's not fair. Yeah, but, I mean, no one listens to me anyway. I can say what I want. It doesn't, like, what difference does it make?
Well, it's, well, I have to fucking listen to you. It makes a difference to me. Man of Steel was not a good film. You can't blame all.
Yeah, but neither was fucking Batman versus Superman, and neither was any of the Transformers films.
That was different. Batman v Superman was not just a bad film, it was a nasty little piece of
I've watched a few of your, the thing you were talking about, fucking Mikey Likes Movies or whatever it's called. Mm. I like that guy.
Yeah, I like him too.
He loves Edgar Wright. Holy schmoly, he loves Edgar Wright.
I thought I used to think I loved Edgar Wright.
I said I'm
seeing
Baby
Driver. I have it. Yeah, no, Edgar Wright.
I don't have any real interest either. Like, it doesn't look like something that would appeal to me.
Oh, really? An Edgar Wright film about a fucking getaway driver?
Do you know what? It wasn't Edgar Wright that appealed to me about the Edgar Wright films.
What was it?
It was the whole
the
mob,
three of them,
you know?
Like, or the gang of them.
It wasn't just, I wouldn't watch a film just because Simon Pegg was in it. He's in a lot of shit, like, you know.
Yeah, no, neither would I.
It's fucking, that was double for Nick Frost, like, you know.
Yeah, poor old Nick Frost is not really...
I'd say he's doing alright.
Yeah, but it's hard to see him as an authorial voice.
Well, I mean, has he done anything? Has he done anything that's kind of like that he originated? Well, they both wrote Paul, didn't they? Wasn't that Nick?
Yeah, did you see it?
Yeah, I mean, it's like a lesser fucking one of those films. Like, it doesn't... It's grand. Like, it's entertaining, and Kristen Wiig is in it, and she's great. Like,
love her.
And fucking Sigourney Weaver's in it. Seth Rogen is an alien.
She's,
you know,
in a lot of interesting stuff that I never bother me or seeing.
How do you know it's interesting?
Well, it sounds interesting, but it just doesn't seem... She seems like a sort of a Kirstie McCall kind of thing. I was listening to a lot of Kirstie McCall this week.
Oh, for any particular reason? Just...
The mood hit me.
That's the great thing about
I saw a guy
streaming.
In the chip shop look like Elvis. I thought, hey, you know what I could listen to?
I don't know her stuff that well, to be honest.
Neither do I. It's really good.
Yeah, but apparently one of the reasons that she didn't get as big as she could have gotten is because her stuff was all over the place. Like, it's country,
there's
blues,
no, there's
this,
no
this,
such
that.
Thing. I was thinking that, you're like, you know what, there's no such thing as a Kirstie McCall song. You can't listen to a song and, oh, that's like the kind of thing Kirstie
McCall.
But
she loved music, though. This is the thing.
That
like,
is it. And when she did something, she did... I think there's a touch of that about Sinead O'Connor. It's like, when she does something, she does it well. But it's hard to say... You know what? This is just like her other thing that she did.
The one thing you could sort of peg Sinead O'Connor with is that those kind of breathy versions of Irish standards. Like, didn't she sing She Moved Through the Fair in some film?
Yes.
It takes about an hour. You know, and it's like, there's lots of like heavy breathing and stuff in it where you're just like, yeah. The best thing she ever did was that reggae album she did.
People love that album.
Fucking brilliant.
But there's
man.
A lot of stuff. Man, she did a lot of good stuff. What, yeah, Mandinka is a brilliant song.
Yeah, but...
Even though I can't really pronounce it. Because I feel like it should be Mandinka, but in the song it's Mandinka.
Do you know, so that like, song kind of Mandinka? Annoys me. There's something just like, ugh.
Well, everybody's allowed.
But her reggae album is
crazy.
Fucking class. That's the one with Vampire on it and Curly Locks, and yeah, it's a fucking.
Her last one was, well, her last one had that really good song on it.
I think I tried to listen to it once, and I was like, see, I don't feel like her heart's in it. I feel like she's got this great voice, and when she's on,
that was
she's
always,
the best in the world at what she does.
That
like,
was
but,
always her selling point, though, wasn't it? She has an incredible voice, a very distinctive voice.
But I don't think. I wonder how present she is in like the studio or whatever, or is she walking in on like pretty much finished tracks and just singing on them and then going home? Like,
I liked that last single she had. I liked it, or the single from the last album.
Yeah, the one about
Take Me to Church.
Yeah, I think didn't come out at around about the same time the Hosier song came out. Yeah. But I just wonder how into it she is, or is it like every few years she's just sort of convinced you have to make fucking something, like, you
but
know?
Does she not have, does she not tend to get into the, I mean, like doing the fucking Shannos album and then following it up with a reggae album, does she not give the impression of somebody who goes way deep, possibly more deep than really she needs, into these things and gets into them and
in some cases, in the cases where it's good, I think that's the, but like that album that had No Man's Woman on it and then the one that had Take Me to Church on it, like, they're not great albums, like, you know, they're all right, you know, but I just feel like I feel like she's someone whose attention just fucking, if she's not immersed in something, I think her attention will fucking wander, and that's why these albums of two or three good songs on them. Like, you know.
Kirsten McCall's not like that, but I really like Kirsten McCall. I wish... She does nail it. When she does a country song, she's doing a fucking country song. And yet it's not really... I mean, that Elvis Chip Shop one is a country song. But it's not... All of the fucking cultural referents are sort of 70s English.
Well, that's when stuff like that gets interesting. Like the last time we were talking about... Were we talking about punk or something like that on the last podcast? And there's nothing more boring than a punk band going, yay, we're a punk band, here's another punk song, you know?
Yeah.
It's when things get fucking mangled and mashed together that's when things get interesting, you know?
It's like, do you know what it puts... You know what that song puts me... This is silly, but do you know what that song puts me in mind of? That Elvis Chip Shop one, since I'm talking about it nonstop. It reminds me of Desperate Dan.
The comic character?
Yeah. Because it was never 100% clear whether Desperate Dan was in the Wild West or in Macclesfield.
You mentioned it, yeah. That's true. Because he wasn't at herding cattle or anything.
No,
like,
it'd be a desert, and then he'd go home, and when he went home, it'd be these wee two up, two down English working class terraces. Like, is that in the middle of the desert?
That's hilarious.
I mean, Desert Dan was kind of weird that way.
Yeah, I never even thought of that. Yeah, it was never really clear what that lad was.
And I bet you Dan.
That's why the Beano was better, but I know what you mean.
Really? Do you think that makes it better? I liked the Beano too. But I like that about Desperate Dan. I bet you, I can't swear to this, but I bet you, any time a policeman showed up in Desperate Dan, it wasn't a sheriff.
It was a bobby, for sure.
No question in my mind that happened. I guarantee you, you're like, where is this happening exactly?
That's hilarious. I never thought of that.
And that's what that song is like. It's like it's Desperate Dan would listen to fucking there's a guy down the chip shop says he swears he's Elvis.
Literally the only person who's ever drawn breath that has compared that song to Desperate Dan.
Maybe, but it's not wrong. I'd be willing to stand on that. I'm going to give myself another week of listening to Kirsten McCall and then I might have a swap for you.
Yeah, that's it. I've never listened to a full album.
She's really good. I listen to a best of.
But still, whatever. You would swap a best of. So we swapped a best of the fall.
Oh, we did. 50,000 Fall fans, yeah. Can't be wrong.
Yeah, but, no, you listen to it again. I will say, it's the last time I listened to The Fall.
But I think I will be swapping her because I kind of love her. She's amazing.
Yeah, so people
say... She was amazing. She's still amazing.
Wasn't she proper decapitated? Like,
really?
I think she was, yeah. A propeller came off at fucking... She's on holidays somewhere and her propeller came off at fucking... I don't know, some kind of...
Oh, let's not talk about it.
Yeah.
She's lovely. She's lovely.
But, yeah, no, I would like an excuse to listen to Kirsty McCall's back catalogue.
Sounds good.
Cool. So, I mean, this is the Swap Me podcast, Niall.
That's what it is, Dan the Man.
And we get together and we swap pop culture and artifacts. Last week we did a...
Like it or not.
The last 2 weeks, actually, we did, like, full-length things on people.
Yeah, we did do that.
So... The time for a wee break from that.
Yeah, you've had our... What did you call it? Our deification, our beatification of Bruce.
Yeah.
Springsteen, I mean, and...
I'm still uncomfortable with that.
Why?
Because it was too much. I'll never listen to fucking Springsteen ever again after that.
It's like, my fault, though. It was my fault. See, you blame me. Say, it's fucking Niall. What can I do?
But,
dragging the fucking carcass up a hill with that, man.
Just so we don't, your computer doesn't explode or something, will we do Mindhorn first?
Let's start with Mindhorn, yes, thank you. It'll save me.
Okay. You asked me to watch Julian Barrett's film,
Mindhorn.
And Sam
Farnaby.
And he's in... I've been watching The Texturist recently, and he's in it, your man Farnaby. Is that the guy with who plays his stunt double?
Clive.
Yeah. He's in The Texturist as well. In The Texturist, it's him and another lad, a little short guy with a moustache, and everyone calls him Simon and Garfunkel in it, because your man's got big, blonde, curly hair in it. He's a different fucking hair in every show he's in, that lad.
Well, a lot of people say, get the hair right. Get the hair, get the character now. I don't think anybody's ever said that.
No, I don't think they have, but...
Here, I'm going to listen to this anyway. This is a better introduction to Richard Thorncroft than anything that's in the actual film.
Julian Barrett plays Richard Thorncroft, who used to play a TV detective called Mindhorn.
In the 80s.
And there's a guy committing murders who...
On the Isle of Man?
On the Isle of Man, who will only speak to Mindhorn.
The fictional detective.
Yeah.
But this was a little outgrowth of Thorncroft's career in the 1980s, where he thought he might go for chart superstardom.
The moon was hot, the time was right, and you were looking so good. Our body heat was rising, I thought you understood. We had some fun together, but I never promised you forever.
It's not my style.
No, no, no. You can't handcuff the wind, and if you try, you're gonna fail. It's like trying to put thunder in jail. You can't handcuff the wind. I feel the pull of the open road. I'm heading out into the night. Gotta loosen up your grip, girl. You're holding on a little.
So what is it with this fucking 80s thing that's happening at the minute?
People love the 80s.
Why?
Yeah. Toto in every bar in town.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong. Like, that's a good song or whatever, but fucking hell. Like,
what, Africa?
Yeah.
Is it?
Yeah, it's a good song. But was it? It was kind of consigned to the fucking, to history for a while, and now all of a sudden, everybody's banging on about Toto and Weezer did a version of it. Like, in... What the fuck's going on with this 80s carry-on?
It's never the 80s I would care to listen to be 110% with you. There's no... Even if you discount Springsteen, who are apparently not allowed to listen to
it. No, he's done. It's like Louis C.K. in there.
Yeah. No, we have no reason to believe that.
In my head, they're of a piece.
Okay, It's not like fucking Michael Jackson's getting played.
Yeah, it's like the shit. It's like when you...
It's T'Pau.
Yeah, it's like when you have exhausted the hits.
Mm-hmm.
You all of a sudden, but just hits. By virtue of the fact that you've exhausted them, all of a sudden these other things that you haven't heard in a while sound like fresh or whatever. Like, and you're just like, no, they were shit when they were released, and they're shit now, and mm-hmm. let's all have a sandwich or whatever. Mm-hmm. Like, you know. Yeah.
Whitney Houston?
Yeah, I can't listen to Whitney Houston. I don't like that stuff. I don't think
I wanna dance with somebody. That's a good song.
Yeah, but you're picking one song. That's not somebody. A bad song. But the rest of it, I could happily live the rest of my life never hearing again. Like,
even from The Bodyguard?
I hate that.
Oh my god!
I think I'm gonna have a heart attack. That's like, and die from not surprise.
That song in particular is responsible for every fucking reality show singer where fucking... It's like, it doesn't matter what they do for the rest of the song as long as they hit that high note and then Simon Cowell stands up and applauds them as they do it. Like, that counts as a thing now. That's music.
Well, being able to hit the high note is worth...
Yeah, but there's fucking 4 minutes and 1 second surrounding that one high note, like... Right. And it's fucking dull, usually, like...
He fairly captures it there now, that kind of song, with You Can't Handcuff the Wind.
But I just don't get the... I like this film, I thought it was funny, and I like him. I think he's the funnier half of the Mighty Boosh.
Do you think...
He's much more successful on his own than Noel Fielding is on his own.
Do you think...
Artistically.
And yet they won't give him the Bake Off. What the fuck is that?
Give who the Bake Off?
Julian Barrett.
See, this Bake Off thing just passed me by completely.
I have been watching a shitload of Bake Off on Netflix. I never watched Bake Off in my life. And the
this
other
is the
night,
thing with Mel and Sue on it, right?
Yeah.
I like
well,
them.
Now it's Noel Fielding and Sandy Toksvig.
And is it still watchable?
I started from the start, purist that I am. So I'm not anywhere near there yet.
Okay.
It is it's weird how you get drawn into it. It's like, that's not going to raise. Not the way he's needing that. That's not going to work.
I haven't seen any of it. Like,
after one season, you just do get in the sort of situation where you think you're a bacon expert. Like,
do you know one of my favourite shows
bacon,
is at the minute?
Not bacon.
You are kind of a bacon expert, though. You were espousing on something serious last time I was talking to you here.
I'm a connoisseur.
But one of my favourite shows at the minute is called, have you seen Repair Shop?
No.
It's like this fucking thing where quote-unquote repair shop in the middle of this field. Like, you know, it's probably mm-hmm. similar. It's probably got a similar fucking feel to the Bake Off,
mm-hmm.
where people come in with their you know, old family heirlooms and all things that aren't broken and fucked up, and they take him in, and this, like, all these experts are in this workshop, and they fix, like, old crockery and old radios and restore these things that were all fucked up to their former glory, like, you know.
Right.
And
that's kind of cool.
It's brilliant, yeah. And it's one of those shows that I love falling asleep to it, because it's not really that important what's happening. Yeah, it's like, it's like a lava lamp or something. It's just relaxing, you know.
It's just sound and colours.
Yeah, yeah. But it's like, the repair shop is somewhere in the middle of the English countryside, and people are like, oh, granddad's clock hasn't worked now in years, and we were wondering, well, I know what I can do with that. See, I need to take the hands off it and clean them with this solution that I've developed myself. And that kind of stuff.
Super fascinating.
Yeah, and I'm just like,
clocks. I would watch a clockmaker TV show.
It's like sinking into a fucking warm bath.
Bake Off is like, for all the world, it's like a cuddly apprentice. Nobody needs to hear us talking about this, because I'm 9 years behind on the Bake Off. Like, everybody discovered
it. It's been on that long.
Well, everybody discovered it in 2010, and here, in the latter half of 2018, I'm watching the first series.
I do this, like, this is what I'm like, though. Every time I hear someone talking about anything, I'm like, people talking about cake, fuck that. Like, and then when you actually catch some of it by mistake, you're like, oh, it is kind of entertaining, actually.
That's it. It's just like, it is warm bath TV. It's just like, everybody's kind of friendly, and when somebody's bake doesn't go well, everybody gathers around, oh, don't worry, try again next time. And it's all very, I can see why people would be like, I wish I lived on the Bake Off. You know? It's, but just like, more appealing than real life. But like,
Sue don't even live on the Bake Off.
No. Although I was watching Bake Off with New during the week, and she had all these stories. Apparently, if anything goes very wrong for people, if people are looking like they're having a bad time, Mel and Sue start effing and blinding and jumping out and shouting and screaming so that it can't be used.
Oh, really? Yeah.
In the edit, in the final edit, yeah.
They seem...
Fuckity tits! Oh, bullshit!
They seem cool.
Oh, I love both... together or apart, I love those people.
Yeah,
those
people. They used to have a show... I think when we were at college, they had a show called Light Lunch or something like that.
Yeah, they did. I didn't catch them on that now. I've seen them, I've seen them since on panel shows, like, together and separately.
I listened to her on Ewan Sue Perkins on Desert Island Discs not that long ago.
What did she pick?
I fucking love Desert Island Discs. I wouldn't listen to just anybody on it, though, but it's great having the archive to whiz through.
I love Ewan.
You go like, name? Oh, Charlie Brooker, I'll listen to that.
What's her name?
Kirsty Young.
Kirsty Young.
She's taking a break from it now because she's not well. She's got...
What?
Is it... What's that sort of weakness in your joints and all that you get?
I don't know, arthritis? Or
No. It's like worse than arthritis. It's like... Is it cystic fibrosis?
Oh! Is it that? No. Cystic fibrosis, I think, is the lung thing, isn't it?
Oh, okay. Well, then is it fibromyalgia? No, it's not. Is it fibromyalgia? Is that what it's called?
Oh my God, poor Kirsty.
I think she's taking a break from it because of that, and Lauren Laverne is going to do it.
Oh, I like her. It's a very different cast of characters.
They're reshuffling Six Music, apparently, and they're giving Lauren Laverne is doing the early morning show, and Stuart McConey and Mark Radcliffe are losing their afternoon show. They were my morning guys when I was living in America, because the time difference. Like,
I like your man McConey; he's funny. Like,
yeah, he's brilliant, and so is Mark Radcliffe. He's been on Radio 1 for fucking years. Like, you know,
has Julian Barrett ever done Desert Island Discs?
I'm sure he has, yeah.
I would be interested to hear his...
But he does all the music on the Mighty Boosh. Like, he's, like, kind of a super talented dude, like, you know.
Do you get the feeling that he would be happier if people just let him write comedy songs and didn't expect TV shows out of him?
Like? But he's really funny. Like, he's a great comic actor. Now, he has one role that he plays in everything.
Yes.
But...
so does John Cleese.
So does fucking Woody Allen. So does all these people, like,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I was going through his kind of his professional history, and it's full of stuff where I was like, oh yeah, I meant to watch that. It's like, there's a lot of that. Like,
he was on stuff that was on when I was like a teenager. We had the Paramount Channel, which is where I saw like Dr. Katz and all that kind of stuff, and the Gary Shandling show. It's Gary Shandling show. And
this was the thing, the Gary's
those part. Kind of early Edgar Wright things. There was a thing called Asylum.
He was on it.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Yeah. I don't think Noel Feeling was on it, but Julian Barrett was on it with someone else. And I watched all that shit. Matt Lucas and David Williams were in a lot of those shows before they were anybody, like, you know.
Yeah.
It was kind of, you know, it was all these people who went on to
be after they're anybody.
Well, isn't Matt Lucas on Doctor Who, or was on Doctor Who? wasn't he? I stopped watching the Capaldi stuff, and then I caught an episode late in the run, and then all of a sudden Matt Lucas is in it as a sort of a sidekick, and I wasn't sure what was going on.
No interest. Badly written.
Yeah, but I like Capaldi though, so I wanted to see it. You know,
I like Capaldi. I gave him 2 episodes. Still badly written. I was like, nope, sorry, lads.
I haven't seen very much of it now, to be honest.
Jodie Whittaker starting.
That's might starting be
tonight, enough. Is it?
I don't think it's till October.
Oh, okay.
You'd think it was fucking tonight, the way they're blathering on about it. Like,
I like her. And new showrunner, I'll give it a shot.
I don't know anything about her. Apart from that she's going to be in Doctor Who.
She was in a lot of good stuff. She's in Broadchurch.
See, I didn't see that. Is that the thing with...
David Tennant
in it, yeah. And is Olivia Colman in that as well?
Yes, she's brilliant in it. As ever.
I haven't seen it. I saw the last episode of one of the runs, and I was like, all right, I don't know anything. It's another, they're captured. There's a lot of loose ends being tied up in this episode.
somewhat defeating the point of a murder mystery, Dan.
It was just on. The cat was watching it, I think.
It was good TV. But he is one of those faces, Julian Barrett, and he's been in a lot of stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
He's never really quite... You see, whatever you want to say about Noel Fielding, he's gone out and put himself out there. And Barrett absolutely hasn't.
But I don't really think of that as a virtue, to be honest. Like,
it's how you sell things.
Yeah, I know, but like he's gone out and putting himself out there, but most of what he's done isn't that entertaining.
But what
maybe is, he's great on the cake show.
What like, is? I haven't seen it any yet. I'm still on Mel and Sue, and I'm already slightly resenting him and Sandy for taking their position. And I'm only on season 3. Like, he's in. I don't know. Noel Fielding is a weird guy. I like him on panel shows and stuff, but he's almost getting by on the fact that you know he's Noel Fielding.
Yeah, yeah. Like the Mighty Boosh has been done for a while, you know. Yes. And did the film ever? There's talk of a film. Probably never happened.
Probably
like
better off not. Really.
Well, also it's too late now as well. Like you know, the ball has fucking rolled on that thing.
This
you know?
Was all.
And I loved it. I loved the Mighty Boosh. I thought it was great.
I didn't love it. I've said it before on this. The episode where they're on the desert island is one of my all-time favorite TV shows of anything. But it takes
isolation. Isolation.
The thing about being the moon is...
The thing about being the moon is your teeth look really yellow against all the white makeup.
I can look at myself in the sea.
I thought that the Mighty Boosh was really funny.
It was
coming at you like a flannel.
Yeah.
What was that? There was a bit where who was the guy that Noel Fielding would play where he would go all green? He was some kind of demon or something.
Oh,
it was one episode where he was having a piss and he was like coming at me like yellow cable.
You see, I don't know. I get the feeling Barrett did the. To what extent does Barrett do the heavy lifting there and create a world, whereas Noel Fielding's just...
I think of Noel Fielding as being like a funny libertine.
Yeah.
It's like basically what he is.
That's exactly what he is. He's the comedy equivalent of Pete Doherty.
Yeah, except he seems to be a little cleaner.
Yeah, yeah.
There's no pictures of him on the news eating big fry-ups.
It takes very little effort to accomplish that, totally. yeah, whereas Julian Barrett is a man who kind of, you get the feeling he sort of disdained, you get the feeling that if he ended up popular he'd be a bit disappointed in himself.
Well, I mean, I'm sure he's happy enough he doesn't have to work in a fucking supermarket or whatever, you know, but also, I kind of respect those kind of guys that like making stuff and like getting paid to make stuff, and they do enough to make a living and sort of keep their name relatively in the mix, you know, whereas... People who jump up on every little thing, every time someone's cutting a ribbon somewhere, oh, it's Noel Fielding, here he comes. Oh, I'm coming at you like a badger in a fucking fireman's helmet or whatever.
At you like a badger in a fireman's helmet. Is that him?
I'm just trying, you know the sort of off-the-cuff shit they would say on Mighty Boosh. Yeah, a lot of animals wearing clothes.
It's not so much off-the-cuff shit in this. This seems very calculated.
It seems pretty tightly scripted, but the two boys wrote it, didn't they?
Yeah, Farnaby and Barrett.
Yeah.
Here's another little clip just for the sake of it. In the years since he released You Can't Handcuff the Wind and Mindhorn was cancelled, things have not gone especially well for Richard Thorncroft.
Not super duper, no.
And this is him going to an audition for his old mucker, Kenneth Branagh, who is making a film.
Ah, hello, lovely. Hippoly casting, Richard Thorncroft.
Oh, great. Mr. Branagh's nearly ready for you, Richard. Crowthorne?
Thorncroft. The Beeman! Kenny B!
Bloody good to see you.
Let's crack this baby open.
Hi, Richard Crowthorne, 11 o'clock.
Oh. Right.
I speak the truth! I am afeard of no man! I am afeard of no creature! I am my own man! I am Clifton of Port Antonio! Do you feel me?
Yeah, it's incredible. That's literally incredible.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Really, I mean, I don't know what to say, but thank you.
I want to try something. I'd like to do it again, but this time I'd like to try it with a brogue.
Well, no, I think we're good. We've got everything. I've really seen everything I could possibly want.
You sure?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Well, acting aside, it's been great to catch up. Kenny B. This guy's one crazy hombre back in the day. Do you remember that hotel in Maidstone?
Oh, who can forget that?
We did a tour of the Medway Basin.
Thank you.
And this fella, well, they'll have to repay for that hotel room. Yeah. I love what you're doing these days. Ken, I'd really admire your balls. Okay, the Bee Man!
Already.
The Killer Bee! The Brand Plane! Who is that?
Not a fucking clue.
What do you make of that?
Of the film itself, like, or...
Well, that scene, of the film
itself. Oh, that scene's really funny.
It is. It's very calculated, though.
What do you mean?
I do feel like maybe Noel Fielding introduces an element of anarchy to these things that he doesn't maybe have himself.
Why are they not doing stuff together? Did they just not get along anymore, or...?
I never heard that they didn't get along.
Because it seemed to be such a great partnership, and now they're just, like...
In fact, in the video for You Can't Handcuff the Wind, there, I think Noel... I couldn't decide, which probably means it's not, but there's a guy in there who looks not unlike Noel Fielding.
Oh, okay. There's a lot of lads walking about that look not unlike Noel Fielding, though.
There's a lot of fucking crows walking about that look not unlike Noel Fielding.
I think you have a more of a fondness for those kind of 80s TV shows than I do. I feel like there's a lot
of
these kind of...
I did watch a lot of them, yeah.
Like, MacGyver-type spoofs at the minute. Like, you know, and I know that's not really what this is, but there is a lot of those...
It kind of is.
It is in a way, but there seems to be a lot of that shit around at the minute. And even though I like that guy and I like this film, it's kind of like, yeah, there's a lot of this.
Like what?
I don't know, it wasn't those fucking...
Transformers or something?
But yeah, I think there's a lot of these sort of failed TV star gets... plunged into a situation where he kind of has to be the character he was on his television program. Do you feel like there's a lot of that around? I can't think of any examples.
Look Well
brought it up, but that's, you know,
that's 20 years ago, like, yeah.
And it was a fucking failed pilot.
Yeah, it was funny though.
I was reading,
but in the way I was like, if they were doing those same jokes every week, would it be
the
classic?
I was reading an interview with Robert Smigel, who was the co-writer on that with Conan O'Brien, and he said exactly that. He said, like, even as we were writing it, I was thinking, how do we do this every week?
Yeah. That's the thing. But then sometimes when you have to answer that question, inspiration hits.
I think he was kind of hinting at the fact that Adam West wasn't a million miles away from your man Luckwell, and maybe it was kind of, you know, it was sort of life imitating art, imitating life a little bit.
Yeah. Look, I have nothing against Adam West.
No, me neither, but also, I don't think he was the...
I made my feelings clear and made all the enemies in the world I needed on I'm Adam West episode.
Oh, yeah,
so,
we did that, didn't we?
Yeah, look, I'm sure he was lovely. That's all! End of retrospective. Right, I really love... This film made me laugh out loud in several places.
It is funny, yeah.
Do you think?
Yeah, I don't think it made me laugh as much as it made you laugh, though.
Yeah, a lot of it made me laugh.
Yeah, no, I certainly wasn't rolling about watching it or anything.
Because
like.
Mindhorn is like the kind of thing that happened in the 80s, where you're like, was this for... kids or adults or what was this for?
But like,
there was a lot of that in the '80s.
But also in the '80s, there was one television in the sitting room, and yeah, everyone watched the same point. Shit. Like, you know,
that's a good point. Yes,
it was, and then like I suppose there was stuff. If you switched it on at 11 o'clock at night, you might see something you weren't supposed to. But generally speaking, Euro kids trash. Could watch the stuff that their parents were watching.
Yeah. Know? Yeah. Yeah. But then what, I mean, was the 18 wasn't for adults, was it?
I wonder about this, because it wasn't fucking, was it really for kids either? Like, no, I watched the 18 as a kid. I didn't know why they were together driving around in a van. I just knew they were. Yeah, like, I know yeah. it explains it at the start of the episode, but it was completely lost to me. I just knew they were five dudes in a van, all with competing personalities or whatever. But I didn't know why they were there, or who they were hiding from, or running from, or what they were doing.
Like, or why they have a different woman with them every season.
Yeah. It's just like, I didn't know what they were just... To me, they were just like, oh, they're just mates.
That thing ran for a decade. There must have been women all over the country who knew their secrets. I don't know how long it ran for. I'm talking
shit. Yeah, Face was fucking putting it about, wasn't he?
Oh, he loved putting it about, he did. But that
was... What else was he in? Was Battlestar Galactica?
Battlestar Galactica.
Was that any good? The original Battlestar Galactica.
I don't know. The new one was.
Yeah, but did you watch that old one?
Yeah, when I was a kid, I did.
Like, was it just a shitty Star Trek? Was it just shit Trek?
No, it was a shitty Star Wars.
Oh, okay.
It came out after Star Wars. Like, somebody was like, people love this shit. Get this on the telly now! Apparently they spent an awful lot of money on it back then.
Like, really? Doesn't look like it. Looks like fucking Doctor Who. Really? It looks like that kind
of... I think it looks...
I just fucking haven't seen any of it.
How do you know what it looks
like? I feel like I absorbed it somehow without actually watching it.
That can happen. That can happen, you know? That can happen.
This fucking Paul McCartney's made a career out of it.
You giving it to Paul?
No, I'm just saying, you don't think Maca? People have sort of absorbed the Beatles who, like... I remember being much yes. older, like when I sort of started actively listening to the Beatles and hearing like The Long and Winding Road or something, being like, oh, I know this.
Do you know what I lost?
You know what I thought you were doing there? You were building up to a big road.
Do you know what I did during this week?
I don't.
Did you ever hear of reaction videos on YouTube?
I mean, I can guess what they are. Are they videos of people reacting to yes. like... Luke, I Am Your Father, or whatever.
To different things. Any random things. You can get people reacting to any random
can't
shit.
Watch any like.
That's true. Nothing about that concept appeals to me. Nothing whatsoever. But, until Dan, I should say. Until this week, I watched about an hour and a half's worth of YouTube videos where hip-hop guys, where rappers react to Bohemian Rhapsody. There's a million videos. There's a million of those videos.
But what do you mean react?
They just watch Bohemian Rhapsody video on YouTube. And none of them fucking knew Bohemian Rhapsody. Like, and so you're like watching a grown man for the first time go through the roller coaster of Bohemian Rhapsody and try to make
Bohemian
sense of it.
Bohemian Rhapsody like erased from my memory and then never hear it.
Fuck off.
I hate Queen.
I know you hate Queen. Fucking hate Queen. There's something wrong in the soul of anybody who hates Queen, Dan. Yes, there is.
If there is, it's not wrong enough for me to cause any real trouble.
You just hate fun. That's your problem.
I fucking hate Queen.
You should see hip hop guys reacting to Bohemian Rhapsody for the first time. Sometimes they're reacting to the live video, sometimes they're reacting to the actual video.
But the live video, they don't do the bit in the middle when they do it live. I had Queen Live at Wembley. We spoke about it before in the Queen Live at Wembley tape. Mm. And the bit, I see your little silhouette. It's a recording. Man. They're not doing it at the gig. And then they come back in after that bit.
You're just going to have to.
So you think you would stop me, spin my eyes.
You're just going to have to. I don't know how they did any of their stuff live when I think about it.
Poorly. No, I don't know.
Clearly not.
Fucking hate
clearly
Queen.
Not.
Poorly. Hate Queen.
No, you're talking shit now because clearly they didn't do it poorly.
How do you know?
Because
I was the one with the tape. We've talked about
people
it.
People fucking love that.
People love fucking. I don't know. I was hoping for
donkeys.
McDonald's.
Seaside donkeys.
Seaside donkeys.
They're actually not a thing anymore, are they?
There's gonna be no seaside soon. The seaside's just gonna be a planet. We're all gonna be. Underwater.
Oh, we'll figure it out. I'll get a boat. I'll build a boat. I'll figure out how to build a boat.
You'll build a boat.
Yeah, I'll build a boat.
I'm not getting on that boat.
Okay, you're not invited.
I definitely want to shop around for boats before I threw in my lot with your boat.
I'll get a boat. Don't you worry about that, son.
But, no, I don't know what it is. It's too big. Like, everything was big ideas with Queen, and it's like someone screaming in your ear. Like,
that might be why rappers love it.
Yeah, maybe so, because it's musically people. Excessive. Like,
anyway, for any listeners out there, I'm sure I'm fucking 9 years late to fucking reaction videos as well, but if you Google black band listens to Queen or whatever the fuck it is, I don't know, you'll find these reaction videos.
That's a stupid thing to say. Lots of people.
There's a lot of people. Yeah. There's a lot of hip hop guys who just don't listen also, to rap and roll.
There's too much stuff now, so you're going to... The classics don't live on in the same way they used to, like, you know, yeah. because you're getting yeah. swamped by everything else, yeah. like, you know. Like, recently, did you see that thing after the MTV Awards, like, last year or something? Paul McCartney and Beck were not let into an after party.
What?
Paul McCartney and Beck, after the MTV Awards, were going into some club where there was an after party and the bouncer wouldn't let them in, didn't know who they were. And I remember people complaining about that, and I thought, well, yeah, I mean, it's perfectly reasonable to expect. Like, Beck... Even as a mainstream figure, is quite niche, but it's perfectly reasonable for someone not to recognise Paul McCartney now.
Well, did he just not recognise
him? Like, would a teenager in the 50s have recognised fucking John McCormick? Like, you know, it doesn't, you know...
But would he have known who he was?
Well, he wasn't on any list. I'm sure Paul McCartney doesn't... I'm sure he didn't ring ahead and go, actually, I'm going to be coming up, my name's Paul McCartney, I'm going to be there... In like 20 minutes, if you can just make sure I'm sure he didn't do that.
So did it get sorted? Did he get
No, they didn't get in. There's like footage of them like walking away and like Paul saying to Beck, write a few more hits so we can get into these parties, like, you know.
Oh my God. How did that bouncer feel, I wonder?
Well, I'm sure he lost his job. And he shouldn't have. No. It's not his fucking fault he didn't recognise fucking celebrity from 60 years ago.
You're absolutely fucking right, he shouldn't have lost his job. If his name wasn't on the list... He shouldn't have got in. Sorry, Paul. I have nothing against you, man. Apart from all the woman-beating songs that you wrote in the 60s. Oh, I know.
I don't think Paul was that guy.
No, he wasn't. Neither was John Lennon. That's the fucking sickening thing. He's just acting the big man.
Charlie Big Spuds.
Yeah, Charlie fucking...
Charlie Big Spuds, Lonely Hearts Club Band.
Billy Big... That's what Lennon was. But anyway.
But do you reckon... I get the feeling... What you're saying here would be deeply appreciated by Julian Barrett. I get the feeling he's a guy who taped things off the radio.
He seems...
And tries to capture them more so than... More so than does off-the-cuff funnies.
He does... The music thing is interesting with him. He's obviously, like... The Mighty Boosh thing, isn't there one of the series where they're trying to get their funk band off the ground? Like, he seems to have a real thing for...
Is that the one where they meet Brian Eno in the jungle, living wild in the jungle?
I think, yeah, I think that is it. That don't they, the first what series is in a zoo or something, like? Isn't it?
I thought they were all in the zoo.
No, there's one where they're working in a shop. They might...
No, but I thought that was the dude's shop. The wee Indian guy's shop, who was there from...
Naboo,
yeah, I thought he was like... I didn't realise they'd changed. I always assumed the zoo was just outside the door there.
I don't know. I just sort of...
You're probably right.
I got the impression that they're just like, oh, what if they work in a shop now? Because we're running out of ideas of shit to do in a zoo.
Like Pinky, you know. And the Brain.
Yeah.
Those things, yeah. Nobody cared that Bugs Bunny... Bugs Bunny didn't live in New Mexico. Or more likely, Bugs Bunny didn't live in Walla Walla the last time. Cucamonga? He lived in Cucamonga.
There was a lot of cartoons in Cucamonga, wasn't it?
Just funny names.
That was Krusty's thing, wasn't it? Funny Cucamonga.
Cucamonga.
Seattle.
There's a New Mexico.
To what extent is this the same kind of humour, my darling?
As the Mighty Simpsons. Boosh? Or as the Simpsons? Well, it's very referential to pop culture.
Very referential.
It's
John
not,
Nettles makes several, gets mentioned several times.
It's not as... referency as some of the other ones, though, which I kind of... I don't think he's got, like, an encyclopedic knowledge of 80s fucking detective shows.
I think he might.
I don't know. It doesn't come across like that.
Really?
I think in broad strokes, they kind of take the piss out of that genre. But the rest of the film isn't like that.
It definitely, definitely leans heavily into Bergerac now.
Oh, well, I've never seen it or know what it is.
Oh, Bergerac. Remember from the 80s?
No, no, that's the number I just said. I don't know. I've heard the name, but I've never seen it.
John Nettles.
Oh, this is a collection of words that I don't really know.
I know those words, but that sign makes no sense.
I've heard people mention Bergerac, but I've never seen it. Know what John Nettles looks like.
He's the guy from Midsommar Murders.
See, I didn't watch that either.
You can tell, used to be handsome. Just like the rest
of us. So is he in Mindhorn?
No.
All right, okay.
But he gets mentioned. But...
Steve Coogan's very funny in it.
This is pure Steve Coogan.
Yeah.
Didn't surprise me.
Oh no, this is terrible. Wait, did he sign the DVD form? Yeah. Oh, well, then this is brilliant.
I'm sorry about this.
Play an actor and stuff?
He always plays an asshole. I'm afraid I have to go now. I think I may be about to start to cry.
That's right, yeah.
He's very good in it.
I kind of like that there are all these, like, big wheels in the Isle of Man celebrity community, you know, like it's all a load of nothing. Like.
Oh, and the fucking conspiracy goes right to the heart of the Isle of Man government, straight to the top.
I thought that was very funny. What's Coogan's show called? Windjammer,
which is a spin-off from Mindhorn that's run for 16 seasons to Mindhorn's 3.
And what, is the Windjammer, is that the coat that he's wearing? Is that what the Windjammer is?
I think so, isn't it?
Because it's like he's wearing a red raincoat. Oh, do you know what's very funny is the scene where the guy is, you know, they're judging the floats.
Yeah.
And he's talking about what, there's a whole gunfight and everything outside the Mindhorn car, and he's talking about it like it's all... Yeah. Oh, he's going to shoot him there. Oh, that was very impressive. That was definitely one of the best floats we've seen.
You see, I don't know whether we went through this, but the basic conceit is this washed-up actor who hasn't been famous since the 80s gets dragged...
An hour and 3 minutes in, and we haven't even mentioned the plot.
Gets dragged into an actual police investigation when a serial killer, an apparent serial killer on the Isle of Man, who believes Mindhorn to be real, refuses to speak to anyone but Mindhorn.
So they have to draft this.
So they have to drag this washed up actor to come and play Mindhorn so they can get a bead on this serial killer.
So, when he calls, keep him on the line. Keep him talking.
Mm-hmm.
Arrange to meet, and we'll take it from there.
There you go, Richard. I couldn't find any Manuka, honey.
Oh. Two tea bags there?
Yep, just like you said.
Good little tip I picked up from Sean Bean. Double bag Bean, we called him. The bean bag.
This is it.
She was going on. She was on.
Yeah, whenever you're ready, Richard. Yeah, whenever you're ready, Richard.
Oh, Jesus, answer it.
Fucking clown.
Mindhorn makes people wait. And when they wait, they become angry. And when they're angry, they become vulnerable. And when they're vulnerable, they make mistakes. Yo, what's going down? Hello? Hello? He's hung up. You might want to try 1471.
It's really funny. Is it not really funny?
I probably didn't find it as funny as you did, but there are parts of it that really made me laugh. I was just saying to you while that was on, the part where... They think he's dead at one point, but then were they married? Is it his ex-wife or his ex-girlfriend?
Well, his ex-girlfriend or whatever. They lived together for 2.5 years.
Your man, the killer, quote-unquote, captures him and makes him... He said, I made you look exactly like you did in the 80s. And he sellotaped this big plastic suit on him. He's drawing on muscles and stuff. And he's got... It's all put on with, like, masking tape. And he's, like, put tan on him and painted a moustache on him and all this kind of stuff. But he goes to the house because he thinks there's another copy of the videotape.
The evidence, yeah.
And,
always make a copy of your evidence.
But they call his ex-girlfriend and say he's alive and he's on the loose and he's dangerous. And she finds him out in the garage with the suit on, his moustache painted on and fake tan. And all
that's
this
ridiculous.
Stuff. I'm looking for a man with little cats on his shoes.
He's got cats on his shoes. Not real cats!
That was really funny.
I love him and his ex's new partner who used to be his stuntman. Or love when they get talking. They're just constantly needling at each other.
He pretends to lift the fan mail. Oh, and it's just like two letters.
Two letters. Yeah. But
Even just when they're in the garden, and he brings her in. He doesn't want to go in near her because he's discovered she's going out with him. Then, and he brings him in, and he's always walking around in these cut off denim shorts.
That guy's great. That guy's in. He's in the Mighty Boosh. He's in the Tetris. He's got his own film, Bonnie and something.
He judges it perfectly here. I thought maybe nobody else agrees with me. Maybe nobody loves Mindhorn as much as I did, but. He judges it perfectly when they're chatting away, and he keeps trying to needle him. He's going, look at him, and he pokes his belly. Who many Garibaldish? It's all the rich living. It's, yeah, too many Garibaldish.
He's in Detectorists. Toby Jones and Mackenzie Crook are in one metal detecting organization, and him and his mates are in another one. And by the end, I think it's in the third series, they start calling themselves the Dirt Sharks. He's just like, it's, that's a funny show as well.
He's very funny. I'll just go get the fan now. Don't you two going back, go getting back together now. Ha, I'm kidding. He's so fat. It's
but that's one thing that's great about Julian Barrett is that I think he actually is a little bit like, he's probably got a bit of a paunch on him and stuff like
that. Wasn't makeup.
No, and he doesn't
The bald head had to be shaved.
Oh yeah, no, I don't think he's that bald.
It was just too perfect. Nobody has this.
It's not like he's 60. Like I think he's only in his late 40s or whatever.
Yeah, but he really. There's some unflattering bits in this. Bits where he looks, really?
Yeah.
But man, he's fun. I found it very, very funny.
He's got a not in his style of comedy, but appearance wise, he's got a little bit of the Ricky Gervais about him that. No matter what you do with him, he's still going to look like a sort of unhealthy lad in his 40s. Like, it's not like neither of those two lads clean up that well. Like, you know.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, you know.
Yeah. Is this, how much of a hypocrite am I for liking this as much as I do when I give out shit about stuff being referential?
Like, but this is what I'm saying to you. I don't feel like it is that referential. And it's not... I think
you mightn't be that familiar with the stuff it's referencing.
But it's not like...
Pure Bergerac.
Then. It's not like Hot Fuzz or something, or any of these kind of things, where literally like things are recreated shot for shot. Like,
no.
I think it is referencing the things you're talking about, but I don't think it's going to extraordinary lengths to get the details perfect.
No, it isn't.
I think it's more of a tone than it is like, we have to make sure we get this shot from this thing because, you know.
The music video is deeply trying to be perfectly look absolutely of the time.
Well, this is the thing, though. I don't even... You could almost read that as not even a piss take.
Yeah.
It's just him trying to write an 80s song. I don't know why people want to step into that world and be in it, like, almost, like, realistically. I don't understand it, you know?
How realistic is it? It's
pretty on the money for those kind
of things. It sounds exactly like an 80s song, but it's obviously...
At that point in the 80s, that kind of shit passed as emotion and wit and content.
It's a ready substitute for genuine emotion, I suppose.
The Nazis always were a sentimental bunch, weren't they, Tom? It's a ready substitute for genuine emotion, I suppose.
It's so weird, though. Like, it's a style and a... A tone that should be completely consigned to history, but people keep trying to bring it back.
Well.
But that doesn't seem to fucking bother anybody, though.
But we live in a time of bombast. Like,
what do you mean?
We live in a time of bombast. I mean, that hip hop. It's like hip hop guys who love Bohemian Rhapsody. It's just, it's massive and it's over the top and it's excessive in every conceivable way.
I still think of Bohemian Rhapsody as a Christmas song.
What?
They re-released it was it 1992 when Freddie Mercury died?
Ah.
Or maybe it was a little bit later, but they re-released it as a Christmas single, as an AIDS charity single. And that's when I first heard it, was at Christmas. In my head, that's a fucking Christmas song.
I have no recollection of him dying, I have to say.
Well, my dad was watching the when that Freddie Mercury, the concert for Freddie thing was on.
Yeah.
That was on. Like, it was a pretty long concert, but it was on in our house. Like, it was like, my dad was taping it on a video and he had a cable running out of the telly into his stereo and he was taping it there as well. Like, you know, so that took over our house for 4 hours or whatever it was.
All right. I can't say I should do. Like, I was 12 or 13, like, or something.
Yeah, no, it was in the mid-90s when Freddie Mercury died.
Yeah, yeah. It's weird, but we live in a time of excess. Like, maybe if you expected me to remember him, somebody should have been groped at his funeral. Aretha?
Oh, God. As if that woman hadn't had a hard, a tough enough year or so.
She was great, wasn't she?
I didn't see the clip, but I only heard about it.
I meant Aretha was great.
Oh, right. I thought you meant Ariana Grande.
Ariana Grande got groped.
No, but I thought you were saying maybe she handled it well. I didn't see it. Like,
well, she handled it as well as you could handle it. Like.
But I was just saying, like, is it like she was nearly fucking bombed at one of her own concerts and now she's got some leery minister or whatever. Like,
it's... I don't know how much it's just two generations clashing. He was pretty fucking handsy. I saw the video. He was pretty fucking handsy. I don't know how intentional he was with it, but man, take a step back, father.
I still couldn't hum an Ariana Grande song.
No, neither could I.
No, no, I don't know what she does.
No.
The only thing I've ever heard her sing in full was Somewhere Over the Rainbow, and she did one of those Somewhere Over the Rainbow. And it was just like, oh,
this is going to take a while.
She's had to, like, invent notes for this, like, you know.
Women will be banned from playing the cello.
What was that?
It was Red Dwarf, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Holly invented a new musical scale with 8 notes in it.
You know what?
Women will have to be banned from playing the cello.
I realised that a lot of the stuff I loved when I was younger that I watched religiously, I don't remember it.
Any of it.
I remember watching it and I remember sort of like the tone of it.
Mm.
But to remember specifics of it, I need to watch it again. So that's not even remembering, that's just seeing the thing fresh. But like, I don't, like, I saw every episode of Star Trek The Next Generation when I was younger and I remember fucking zero about it. Like,
I went back to Star Trek The Next Generation on Netflix and it's awful.
Oh, is it?
The first 2 seasons are awful. Later on, it gets good. But
I watched it every day of my life. 2 episodes of it. Remember nothing about it. Like,
people were... I went on Facebook. This was a couple of years back. I went on Facebook and I was like, The Next Generation is awful. It's really... It's not even just sort of mediocre or boring shit.
Was McNulty on here?
It's awful. People were like... no, this is what annoys me. People were like, oh, start on the 3rd season. I was like, no! No, I fucking won't start on the 3rd season.
I fucking hate when people tell me that.
It's either... What the fuck does it... How does it deserve a 3rd season with those 2 fucking seasons?
But someone must have played well if they got that far with it. Like, but did I tell you this before that Kat, my wife, Kat's grandmother's brother is this dude Michael Dante?
Was an alien. Oh, okay.
Close enough. He was an actor in the 60s and he's a bad guy in an episode of the 60s Star Trek.
Well, which one? Would I know?
I don't know. I'll have to double check. He's in a film with Elvis. He's in Kid Galahad.
Oh!
I've never seen it.
Did he meet Elvis?
I would imagine so, yeah. Because he was speaking at some... Now, this is the kind of dude he is. There was some kind of Elvis convention on recently and he was at it as a dude with a table and a felt pen.
Fair enough. Like.
You know, he does... He does the conventions.
I'm not going to fucking begrudge a man a living.
Like. No, of course not. No, but it is kind of
Kieran McNulty.
Troll 2, carry on. Like, you know.
Friend of the podcast, Kieran McNulty organizes those things now for
Star
Trek.
To say it to him.
Yeah, we should get him on.
No, but I never thought to say to him that fucking I actually have a relation who was in an episode of Star Trek.
Oh yeah, that's
maybe
true.
He could come over to the Star Trek era.
I was about to go, why the fuck would he give a shit about Elvis? Sorry, I forgot where the story came from.
I've been meaning to sort of say to him that, like, you know, if this dude would probably come over.
It's very interesting. He had Odo. He had René... How do you pronounce his name? René Aubergeon.
Zellweger. No.
René Aubergeon.
She was in Galway, though. When I was living in Galway, René Zellweger was there.
What was she doing there?
Someone I know saw her take an unspeakable amount of money out of an ATM. Just like literally like a pile of money that looked like a brick. You know,
fair play.
Which I don't think, maybe only rich people can get that much money out of an ATM.
Yeah, I have limit.
She's Renee's. And she apparently she was going out with Damien Rice at the time, and they were both in Galway.
Oh God, love her, give her anything she wants to.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, what the fuck?
And maybe it wasn't an ATM. Maybe it was like some sort of box that like So Sad had set up.
Don't we, the Samaritans? There's nothing we can do for you, love. We send you money. You'll be all right.
The blowers. Da-ta-ha-ha. I like that song.
Anytime I ever listened to that, I just thought, this is just fucking, you're just too good to be true. Can't take my eyes off. Which is an infinitely, universally, astrologically better song than The Blower's fucking Daughter. And he does that, we've talked about this before, haven't we? Where he does that bit at the very end of The Blower's Daughter when he goes, can't take my mind off of you. And he hits the last chord and he goes, my mind. At the very end. And he's like, oh, fuck off.
You're supposed to
and then come back and then fuck off again.
You don't hear from him much anymore.
No, he doesn't. Well, I mean, he was originally a member of Bell X1.
Yes, I remember you. I think you told me that.
And he...
they were good.
I mean, yeah. I never really got it, to be honest. Like,
all right.
There's a couple of songs I like, but... Yeah, yeah, I could never last the whole album. I was like, yeah, I get it. You know, Rocky, etc. I always liked that song, Pinball Machine. And that's on it just because it was catchy.
What one was that?
It's on the first album, I think. I don't go very deep with Bell X One, it must be said.
Fair enough.
And then that one that everybody liked, Toast Marshmallows on a Cold Dark Night, you know that song?
Oh, yeah.
It's just
yeah,
like,
yeah.
This is just like shitty Talking Heads, you know.
Talking Heads are weird, aren't they?
Yeah, I'm not even the biggest Talking Heads fan. I kind of like the idea of Talking Heads more than I like press and play on track one and sitting.
I like that. Little hills go back, water flowing under.
Yeah, yeah. I've always liked fucking Psycho Killer.
Yeah, it's pretty good too.
You sing, was it? You talk a lot, but you're not saying anything. When I have nothing to say, my lips are sealed. Say something once, why say it again?
Okay.
And then he goes to another chorus.
He's a strange... They're a strange band.
Yeah. You should watch the...
Jeff Bridges loves them.
Really?
Yeah, I heard him...
He's a musician as well.
For some weird reason, I listened to Jeff Bridges talking about Talking Heads on the internet one
night. He's one of those guys that... He was, like, grew up in the 60s, and he was saying, like... I remember I heard him saying on something, like, he was saying, I was only a notch away from being either a musician or an actor. It could have gone either way, like, you know. Because he was playing in bands and he was acting, and I think the acting just worked out first. Same for Billy Bob Thornton.
Fair play. I bet you the same for Julian Barrett.
Yeah, yeah, I would have thought. I'd say, and Chris Morris, starting off as a bass player.
There you go. He doesn't have the personality to be a bass player.
No, he's not a team player. I don't think.
He needs to, yeah.
Unless it's his team.
Yeah, I guess
we were talking about this the other day with someone where one of the funniest fucking scenes in anything is that scene in the IT crowd. It's at the start of one of the series, I think, when Chris Morris is in a board meeting and he gets a letter from someone and he goes, excuse me, and he literally like just he walks over to the window and just jumps out. Yeah. It's one of the funniest things.
He's actually
very good at that light comedy style, but also, you know, he's obviously more well known for this other.
He won't do that. But Julian Barrett he's not a million miles away from that. I just get the feeling he won't court it if he felt himself courting.
Yeah.
Any kind of reason.
Graham Linehan said he was lucky to get him to do as much of the IT crowd as he did. And when the second series came around, Chris Morris was like, I'm not interested. And he's like, well, you do this one scene where you die and then we bring Matt Berry in as your son. He's another...
Matt Berry, speaking of.
He's another comedic actor and musician. He's made albums. And all these people are in there. This Disenchantment as well. Should we bounce on?
Let's bounce on. What did you make of Mindhorn anyway?
I enjoyed it. I maybe didn't find it as funny as you found it, but I did enjoy it.
Well, I have to say, one of my
things that are ribbing the 80s and are about 80s TV shows, I generally don't like them that much, but I did like that.
I liked it, but it didn't hurt that towards the very end, I got one of my biggest laughs, I thought. And I don't necessarily think anybody else would think it was the biggest laugh, but you remember that bit where he... You poor deluded fool. I am Richard Thorncroft.
No.
Do you remember at the very end when your man's dying and he's like, who is this Richard?
Oh, yeah, yeah. And then he just...
Don't ruin it for people. But I was sitting here in the kitchen the first time I watched that. I was eating my dinner and I I don't know, whatever way it took me, I couldn't stop laughing for 5 minutes. So that took me clear to the end of Mindhorn. Like, I was, as far as I was concerned, I closed Mindhorn on a high. I really loved Mindhorn, and I think people should watch it.
That was a really funny moment, actually, in 80 minutes.
It's perfectly judged. Well, it's tragic. It's because it's so tragic. It's like, you just shut your big fat mouth for 5 minutes. Somebody would have had some peace in the world, you cunt.
That is funny.
But anyway, listen, this was Mindhorn. I loved it. I think everyone listening should watch it.
I enjoyed it. I didn't love it. Well, I did enjoy it. I thought it was really funny. And I like Julian Barrett. I think he should do more stuff.
That's, yeah, so do I. Fair play. Or, listen, the next time you do something, Julian, I'll watch it. Because every other time, apparently, I have not. But in fairness, you push people away, Julian. You know you do.
But I kind of respect that. I kind of respect that he's not like, hey, it's me.
I don't begrudge him. I don't progress.
I watched Noel. I would put on Live at the Apollo the other night, and Noel Fielding was on it doing stand up, and I was like, I'm not having this. This isn't funny at all.
Was it not funny?
No, I didn't.
I wouldn't mind seeing him do stand up. I can't. He's a strange one. I think he's very funny reacting to other people, but I don't know how you could parlay that into.
Yeah.
Almost what's funny is that his joke is that he's sort of on a parallel track to everybody else. And somebody says something on one of these panel shows, somebody says something and you realize he'll say something that means, oh, you were sitting there thinking about new romantic bands the entire time this conversation was happening. How do you make that work in a stand up routine?
Yeah, I haven't seen him on that many panel shows, but I know what you mean.
Anyway,
but Niall, I got you to watch Disenchantment.
You did do that,
which is Matt Groening's new series on Netflix,
finally.
So what's her name from Broad City, Abby, what's Abby's last name? I forget.
I don't know.
She plays, is her name
Bender? Bender's in it.
Bender is in it.
Tia Beanie.
So she plays B, who's a princess, who her dad's a king, and
almost by definition that's how it has to work.
And like, do you know what, I'm 2 or 3 weeks removed from this now and I'm already starting to forget it.
This is my problem with it.
Yeah, I enjoyed it while I was watching it, but now 2 weeks later, I'm like, right, so there was a demon. What was the demon doing there? What was he calling in?
Well, I have big. That's one of the sources of my major problems.
Yeah, well, let's talk about it anyway. So there's a demon and there's an elf called Elfo, who escapes from Elf.
I'm drowning!
I'm Elfo!
Go on.
He escapes from Elf Town or whatever,
yeah,
it is.
Whatever it is.
And ends up at the. At the palace where the king, the mother died years previous, so it's his king and his wife and the daughter.
His second wife
who's, and this princess.
Some kind of frog woman or something?
Yeah, but apparently elf blood holds within it the secret to eternal youth. So
well,
he
does
has,
it, Dan.
Well, see, this is the thing, Niall.
Great, I have to wear this crazy veil and pretend I'm a virgin?
It's not a veil, Mum, it's your corset. See? It pushes all the mincemeat to the top of the pie.
All this wedding hassle for a stupid political alliance? I thought that I'd get married for true love or because I was wasted.
Lots of reasons to get married, Mum. I got married for a goat. Now, let's hurry. The prince will be here any minute to marry you and, time permitting, meet you.
Yeah, huh? How do I look? Spiffy, right? I had the dogs lick me clean twice.
Announcing the King and Queen of Bentwood, Lorenzo the First and Bunny.
Yeah, welcome, your highnesses. My new king and queen-in-laws. Or should I just call you brother and sister?
We are brother and sister. What of it?
And their son slash nephew, hero of the battle against that bird that flew into the room one time. Groom-to-be, Prince Gisbert of Bentwood.
Oh. Va va voom.
You never do that for me.
But so Matt Groening back on the block.
Yeah.
Is it better than The Simpsons?
No. Is it better than Futurama?
It's too early to tell.
No.
I liked Futurama a lot. Where do you stand on Futurama?
I liked it, as long as you're not comparing it to The Simpsons. As long as you're not comparing it to the heights of The Simpsons.
I thought thought it was comparable to The Heights of The Simpsons. Very different show.
At all. It is quite a different show.
Yeah. A lot of people prefer it. And a friend of mine... A friend of mine used to prefer it because the Simpsons is very much a... Like, I think people in their 20s prefer Futurama because The Simpsons is centered on the family, whereas Futurama is more...
Shallow?
It's more like... No, but it's almost more like flatmates. Like, you know, it's like the relationships you have with people in your 20s. And now this is weird again because this is like...
What is this like?
Well, it's a... The interesting thing about it to me is that the main character in it is a female. Like, for Matt Groening, that's like... You know, that's pretty strange for him. Like, you know,
interesting. Yeah, I've never seen... Well, you say that, but what has he done? Like, he's got two other TV shows.
This is the thing. Like, is...
And I believe it was you that convinced me that really...
He's not that responsible for
the
Simpsons.
The Simpsons is really kind of James L. Brooks's baby.
Sam Simon. Yeah. Apparently, Sam Simon, and this is it, I was listening to the audiobook I was telling you about.
Yeah.
Sam Simon and Matt Groening couldn't even be in the same room. Like, literally, if one of them walked in, the other would walk out. Like, you know.
Really?
Yeah, they did not get along even a little bit.
Seems like a bit juvenile. Though.
Yeah, but I mean, it's not that surprising. These Hollywood types.
Yeah, fuck Hollywood. Yeah, you're right, Dan. Fuck Hollywood.
But
all that fucking raping and so on.
I think the reason I enjoyed this so much is because
Robots and raping.
I thought it was going to be shite. And not only did I think it was going to be shite, I thought it was going to be like an embarrassment. Like
it's not that.
But this is what I'm saying. I think I really enjoyed it. I thought it was really funny. It made me laugh. It made me laugh more than Mindhorn did.
No, it didn't for me, no.
See, this, well, I thought it was really funny, and...
I thought...
It's only now with 2 weeks distance from it, though. I watched it all relatively in a small amount of time, the way you do these things now, Now I'm sort of thinking, oh, why was that demon there? And then, you know, I'm starting to...
They never answer that.
Yeah, I'm starting to... There's a lot of pieces in it where I can't really remember why people are even there, like, you know.
And also, what good's he doing? Like, I mean, he seems to be put there by some undisclosed enemies of the kingdom. To do what? To corrupt Bean? She's already like she doesn't do anything different because he's there. All he does in the end is sort of become part of the gang, and even though he says these really awful, cynical, lazy things, these lazily written things, which is what would be the worst thing he could say? Yeah, make him say that. He doesn't act like that. He tries to save her and tries to help her and gets in a panic when things go wrong. I just think there was a kind of smug one-removedness to Futurama, and they've one-removed it again for this.
I didn't think Futurama was smug, did you?
Yeah.
I really liked Futurama. I haven't seen all of it. Like, I've seen the original run, the four seasons, but I haven't seen the other ones.
I saw one of the specials. There was more than four seasons, wasn't it?
Yeah, but this is what I'm saying. The original run of it was cancelled after four seasons, and then they put out DVD only movies, and then it got picked up again for three or four more seasons.
Okay, I thought Futurama had a case. See, this is why I wouldn't dismiss Disenchantment completely. I think it could still rise to those kind of. I think there were individual moments in Futurama that were really good, but I think most of the time it was a bit disposable. Do you know what? I watched the entire run of this. And a half, basically. I kind of thought I better brush up for...
Actually, I should have done that, because I...
Yeah, it's not worth it. There's nothing else there, like, you know?
It's pretty... It's flimsier than The Simpsons, like, for sure.
But it's also flimsier than Futurama.
I don't know. Like, I'd need to...
Let it grow. Yeah, I'm prepared to accept that maybe there's more there. But there is...
I think that it's... Worst enemy is the fact that there's this arc going through it.
Shouldn't have bothered.
Yeah, I mean, because it was an interesting experiment, like, but, you know.
It's too much. Do you remember when Homer's mom arrives in The Simpsons?
Yeah.
And it's an episode. And that's all it needs to be. If they want to do an episode where Bean deals with her mommy issues, they don't have to fucking weave it through an entire season where it gets sort of hinted at early on and then, you know, nothing gets done, and then in the end, everything gets rushed into. Just do a fucking episode where the statue comes to life. You don't need to That's basically what they ended up doing. It's just that they wasted time earlier on, maybe sort of setting it up kind of boring.
But Netflix kind of do that, though. It's all, like, yeah. They're all these series.
Yes.
You know, like, that seems to be what they do with this arc. Like,
it's the binge watching, and that's a problem. I think it's bad for TV to have that binge watching arc, that binge watching model. I still maintain to this day they ruined Luke Cage. Luke Cage could have been the best Marvel thing. I'm not touching any more Marvel things. I left that. But I think Luke Cage...
But you're paying your Netflix subscription already, so if you were to watch Luke Cage, it's not like you're giving them extra money. Or
I'd be contributing.
Would you download it?
I might do it illegally.
Illegally.
I wouldn't mind trying it illegally. I kind of... There's some stuff I like those Marvel films, like, you know... It's really? It is a genuine sacrifice. All I'm saying is it's a genuine sacrifice for me because I actually care as opposed to the wankers on Twitter who pretend to care.
But this is the thing, like, we are going to have to start, like, I've started deleting Louis C.K. stuff now off hard drives and stuff because I just can't, like, you know, I can't. You know, I think, you know, we had our time, but...
Well, he didn't cover himself in glory, Dan, and we can certainly say that.
Yeah, and I mean, you know... I might hang on to my... I'm probably going to keep the vinyl Woody Allen albums I have.
They're very funny.
And also, I figured they were before all that, you know.
So were Lucy Case things.
No, they were after. All this stuff was happening early on and sort of during a lot of that.
Oh, you reckon Woody Allen had one indiscretion in his life that resulted in it?
No, but it probably didn't happen when he was in his 20s.
Some madness took him in his 30s.
No, but he was in his fucking 50s or something when the thing with Sun Yi happened.
I don't think that kind of stuff
I know,
springs
but,
out of fresh earth. Like.
Yeah, but, you know, I got the album secondhand. He didn't make any money off it.
That's how I read the Ender Wiggin books. It's good, isn't it? Anyway, what was I saying? The binge-watching thing is a problem. Because they do try to make it one thing, split into 12 or 13 things. And Luke Cage, they very clearly had this guy who they were not expecting to be an amazing villain. Because you can see how on the page of the script, he would just have been a placeholder. But the guy that was playing him turned him into this kind of weird kind of historian of Harlem, almost.
Like, I haven't seen 2 seconds of Luke Cage, and so I'm not.
There's a great villain. It would be interesting. I don't want to. I can't recommend it to anybody anymore because that would be defeating the purpose of my boycott. Like, but
what would anything resolve this boycott?
You'd rehire James Gunn. See, this is the thing.
That whole thing's on hold now. Did you read that?
Yeah. Good. Fuck them. I hope they lose fucking millions on it. Do you know what? I didn't even love Guardians of the Galaxy. I hated the first film.
Yeah, you really didn't.
The second film kind of rescued it a bit. But the main thing is, it wasn't okay what happened. It wasn't okay.
Yeah.
That was a bad thing. So fuck them. Anyway, the point, I'm sorry, I keep fucking dragging it off the fucking... The point is, I think if they were doing it week on week... and releasing it week on week, by the time they came to killing this guy off, or where they planned to kill this guy off, they could have gone, oh no, shit, this is really fucking good, we need
but
not to kill this guy.
That's happened so much on shows, like, apparently fucking Jesse in Breaking Bad wasn't supposed to be a main character, but there was a writer's strike while they were making it, and because the production was shut down, the first season got shortened because of the strike, and because... they got talking to so many people about it, like people were all, everyone that talked, that the writers or directors or whatever were talking to were mentioning Jesse. They were like, we have to fucking find more for this fucking Jesse to do, like, you know.
Yeah, but that happened the whole way through Breaking Bad. Like, Mike was never supposed to be a...
He's one of my favourite TV characters, and
Ehrmantraut.
Yeah, he's brilliant. I'm despairing of Better Call Saul a little bit. It's moving at a snail's fucking pace. Like,
it always did, though.
But I don't know. I kind of, definitely the first season, I thought I wouldn't change a thing. I loved it. And I like the second season. This third season is kind of like, oh, Christ.
But was the first season rescued by a sort of gut punch at the end that really deserved the build up?
What happened at the end of the first season again?
The reason he...
Spoilers.
Yeah, okay. Spoilers, Frank. Frank, plug your ears just for a second. It turns out that it was his brother that was keeping him out of lawyering.
Oh, yeah, no. So that was the big reveal at the end of that season. Yeah. Okay.
Now, that to me was a gut punch. That was like, okay, that's worth a season to build up. That is absolutely heartbreaking.
Well, then the second season ended with the fire.
I never got to the end of the second season.
Oh, shit, sorry.
No, no, it's okay.
This third season now, I'm just like, oh, I'm fucking gradually losing interest in this now. Like, and I don't want to because I love that show, like, you know, but...
He's very good in it.
But Mike's one of my favourite characters in anything. He's fucking great.
Well, there you go. We see, when you binge watch something, you don't get the opportunity to say, actually, this Mike guy is fucking amazing. Let's make more for him.
And see, I think that happened with Jackie and Roseanne. People really responded to it, like, you know.
There you go.
But see, I think for the Netflix things, do you think they have to show up with 12 scripts and then film the 12 of them? And then
they have to show up with 12 episodes.
Or have the thing finished.
Before anybody sees it? Yeah, every time it gets released, 12 episodes get released. Like, you never see Netflix. Unless they're in...
But it's just the way things are, isn't it? There's no going back, you know.
Well, it is, but I think it hurt Disenchantment. I think it hurt Disenchantment, that kind of... nodding towards an arc. There's a kind of an arc with Tiabini that never gets fucking resolved. There's an arc with Elfo that doesn't even get started.
Yeah.
It's like he's not really an elf or something. And you see, this is the thing. It always tugs at itself. Lucy is this demon who says horrible things but never really behaves that horribly. And Elfo is this elf who, you know, keeps saying... keeps on about how, you know, how difficult it is to be nice all the time. And you never...
He's not that nice.
Yeah. Really.
What is going on with this gift?
Open the gates of... I mean the ribbon. Princess Diabini, you are hereby cursed from the deepest depths of the underworld!
Oh, what?!
Yeah, you look great, though. Nice to meet you. They call me Lucy.
Guards! Guards! A weird ghost guy is attacking and complimenting me!
Shut up! Silencio! First up, not a ghost. Ghosts are losers that got murdered. I am a demon. That's right. In fact, your personal demon. Get used to it, because you were stuck with me for all eternity.
And so the demonic binding begins.
Yes, our emissary will steer her towards the darkness.
It may take months, even years.
So we'll need chairs.
Dark chairs.
He represents the, like, apotheosis of the laziness of Futurama, where you have an actual dramatic...
I don't think Futurama had a laziness, though. I agree with you. Like,
I absolutely believe it did.
I thought Futurama was really good. I felt like The Simpsons did the 80s family thing, but kind of did it, turned it on its head a little bit and did it really well, and it didn't have to be fucking perfect. They weren't a perfect family, but they all loved, etc. They all loved each other, whatever.
Yeah,
I don't think that even comes into play even a little bit on The Simpsons now. But he obviously did, like, Futurama. If The Simpsons was more of the family show, then Futurama was like Friends. You know, it was your 20s and you're these people that you meet in passing in your life. Like, you know, I thought Futurama was really good. I think you're doing it a disservice, to be honest.
I don't mind Futurama. I would consider myself a fan of Futurama. But it had a tendency to... I feel the problem with The Simpsons now is that when it has genuine emotion, or it has a genuine place to go to, it pinpricks it for the easy joke.
Yeah, but is it even worth talking about The Simpsons now?
This is what I'm saying. You know, Futurama was like that from the start.
I don't think it was, though.
I do. I think you can count the number of episodes where Futurama actually had the courage of its convictions to tell a genuinely empathic story on one hand. Now, I think those episodes exist in Futurama. There was the one with the dog. Do you remember the one with the dog?
Yeah, and there's the one where by the end, Fry finds out about his nephew.
What was that?
It, being, I think it starts off with Fry being annoyed that his brother stole his four-leaf clover or whatever.
Oh, yes, 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 yes.
There's
yes,
lots
yes.
of... I think there's more than your... There was a few episodes with Leela's parents, like in...
One or two a season. They were 24-episode seasons.
Yeah, but...
And you know
it
what?
It wasn't that kind of show either, like, you know...
I get you. I get you, but then what's the point? Then it's just disposable. I watched this... I watched the entire series of this once, and I'm... Not quite half. I'm three or four episodes into it a second time for this episode. And it requires no effort.
No, that's true.
And there's a big element of that in Futurama, I think.
It
requires no effort.
But you mean it is The Simpsons? Are you saying The Simpsons is like fucking The Wire or something? Like, or...
I'm saying The Simpsons could challenge you occasionally.
When?
The Simpsons.
Yeah. What do you mean challenge you?
I don't know. I think you saw every shade of Homer. I think you saw several shades of Bart and Lisa. I think there were times you could both love and hate those characters.
I only realised recently that there's a thing called the internet, people on the internet call it jerk-ass Homer. Have you heard this?
No, what's that?
Which is what Homer is like now, where he's just a mean fuck. He's not like Homer in season 3 or 4, like, you know, where he's a guy who gets things wrong, but his intentions are generally good. Like,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah, you see, that's it. But, I mean, were Bender's intentions generally good?
He's a fucking robot, like.
Yeah, no, that's letting them off the hook. Because there are moments where you're expected to feel empathetic towards Bender. And then there's moments where you're able to go, oh, he's just a robot. He can't help it. It's bullshit. That is very, very present in this. And that sounds very much like Super Dickory. Did you ever?
Super Dickory? What's that?
Super Dickory. If you go to, like, Google Superman is a dick. There's a whole website that's devoted to... covers from Superman comics from the 1950s and 60s.
Where he's being a dick.
Yeah, yeah. They were always playing with what was happening in the comic. Like,
That's hilarious.
But they always made it look like, oh my god, has Superman gone... There was a huge proportion of them where it was like, oh my god, has Superman gone bad? And then you'd read the story and there'd be some enormous explanation. But the covers make... If you judge Superman solely on the covers from the 50s and 60s, you would think, Jesus Christ, this alien has just come to Earth to toy with humanity!
Have you ever seen Punch Drunk Love?
Check out supermanisadick.com. No.
Paul Thomas Anderson. Yeah, Adam Sandler. I've been listening to this thing that Mark Kermode does for Audible. Have you heard it?
Hmm.
It's like a free show. You don't have to use your credit.
Oh my god, I listened to the entirety of West Cork on Audible. It's worth a listen.
What is it?
You tell yours first.
Okay, no, I was just going to say that they were talking... I've never seen Punch Drunk Love either, but apparently there's a theory on the internet that Punch Drunk Love is actually like a version of Superman.
Mm-hmm.
You should listen to Kermode talks about it better than I could. Like, and you need to fucking see Punch Drunk Love also.
Okay, well, I will do both of those things.
But apparently, yeah, there's this case to be made that Adam Sandler is actually playing Superman in Punch Drunk Love.
I think you've just intrigued me enough to watch Punch Drunk Love.
Pumped up drugs.
West Cork is an Audible podcast which you don't have to use your credits on. About the Sophie Tascon du Plantier murder. But it's two English people doing it, and they're talking like it's this sort of weird little thing, this niche thing.
I don't know about these murders, I don't think.
Sophie Tascon du Plantier, you know, the French woman who was killed down in Cork in 96 or 97.
Oh, sorry, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it's weird to hear somebody from the outside looking in at what was, for a decade and a half at least, one of the biggest news stories that kept cropping up in Ireland. Like it's this strange, out of the way backwoods sort of mystery that no one's ever heard of.
That kind of free stuff on Audible. It's like an Audible fucking ad sometimes.
Why can't they stop paying me the cunts?
Do you know the only thing I don't like about audiobooks, or, you know, one of the things I don't like about audiobooks is, why is the quality so bad?
What do you mean?
Is it so they can scrunch it down so it fits on your phone or whatever?
Oh, you mean to the sound?
Yeah, you'll download a whole book and it will be like less megabytes than this podcast. Like, you know. But but then I can't figure out how to make it less. I'm sorry if that, as an aside, I'm sorry if that fucks up with anybody's data plan or whatever, but I can't figure it out. It's in fucking mono. It's compressed again. I don't know what else I can do.
Do it on free Wi-Fi, you idiot.
Yeah, you idiot.
Yeah, there's some good stuff like that. But anyway, the Westcorp podcast was very, very interesting.
All right, let's check it out.
Well, you don't really like that fucking true crime thing, do you?
No, but you know what? I can't stand it. But it's like, well, my life is tense enough without all that.
Right.
That's why I like the repair shop. That's why people watch the cake program.
It's not tearing people apart, it's putting things together.
Yeah. I'm a fixer, not a breaker. But that's why people watch the Mel and Suey cake and all that stuff, like, because
the BBC, now that they've been stabbed in the back by Channel 4, should come out with a TV show called Mel and Suey Cake. I would watch that.
There was a Dylan Moore, he was talking about all the TV that he watched, and he was, what is that one, Dance with the Old Man? What's that show like?
Oh, dear, oh. There is a lot of that shit, isn't it? Strictly's back.
That's what he was talking about, yeah.
Yeah, I only know that because my girlfriend has told me, yeah, you're not going to see me on Saturday nights.
Because of this program.
I was like, all right.
Does she have one of those modern things where you can record it?
Or... Yeah, I think she can. But I have been warned.
I haven't seen 5 seconds of Strictly Come Dancing.
I've seen so much Strictly Come Dancing.
See, because we don't... Our TV is in the sitting room.
Yeah.
We have this fucking sitting room in our house that no one goes into except me.
Right.
No one, I live with my wife, and then yeah. My cousin has the other room. It's right. Not a weird arrangement, it's just how it's worked out. But
no, you say that.
God, but there's this fucking sitting room that we have, and the only person that goes into it is me. He's got a TV with fucking channels, a DVD player, a nice couch. No one fucking darkens the door in it except
the kids
me.
Don't care about TV or DVDs, granddad.
Well, literally, this is why myself and Kat, we don't have that kind of relationship where it's like, oh, I have to watch fucking Strictly Come Dancing, even though I don't. Anything she watches is on her phone, you know, or she holds up to her fucking
In fairness, I don't. I have not
like
been...
She blasted through fucking Queer Eye and RuPaul's Drag Race.
I didn't
see 2 seconds of either of them. Like, you know,
that's how it should be.
Yeah,
there's nothing worse than watching a TV show at somebody else's pace. Maybe drinking.
Do you know this business about shared interests? It's bollocks.
It is bollocks.
It gets in the way more.
What
than
you really need is things you can do without her. Things she has no more interest in and will welcome the opportunity for you to go do without her. That's what you really need.
But not too much of it.
There's a little tip for you, lads.
Take that from the relationship doctors.
Yeah.
I feel bad for even fucking swapping this. Well, not feel bad. I don't give a shit, really. But swapping Disenchantment. I laughed at it while I was watching it, and now I don't remember a thing about it.
I laughed at it occasionally, but even while I was laughing at it, I was thinking, this is so empty and disposable. It's not worth my time.
It's more flimsy than the other two. What is fucking... Mindhorn is fucking... What is it? Chinatown? Like, nobody...
Chinatown's a good film. Oh, I could swap Chinatown. No bother.
I've never actually seen it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
It's grim, man. It's grim. You would
hear it. Yeah, so here. Did you ever hear this story? I was literally listening to an episode of Smodcast today.
Right.
I've kind of got back into... Do you know
what
I've got...
I haven't listened to him in a while now.
I kind of like him, but do you know who I like even more than listening to him is listening to the lads... You know the lads who were on Comic Book Men?
Oh, yeah.
And they're like his mates or whatever that still work in the comic shop and all that. And I kind of like listening to them because they're just these... They're like us. They're just dudes.
Just gobshites.
Yeah, who live in a town. You know, and... do you know what I mean? Like they
dudes from a town? This thing sounds like gold!
But I like them because they're just like... They're just buttheads that are just talking. Like, you know, like, obviously Kevin Smith is a butthead as well. Like, I mean that in a sort of a friendly way.
I like that. I do like that. Do you not find the most sense comes from buttheads these days?
But, stick a pin in that. But the thing I was going to say, right, was that they were telling the story that apparently is true. that Jack Nicholson was being interviewed around the time he made Chinatown.
Mm.
He was doing some kind of, in the 70s, you know, the press junket that all these actors go on. But apparently in the 70s, obviously you weren't Skyping or going to a million studios like the way they do now. A lot of these interviews were done by phone.
Mm.
And some reporter said to him, what was it like learning that the woman that you thought was your sister when you were growing up actually turned out to be your mother? And there was this big long silence on the internet or ending the phone from Jack Nicholson. And Jack Nicholson was just said, "What?" And apparently this reporter said, "Oh, I just did a bit of research on you and I found out that the woman who that you were raised thinking that your sister, you know, this woman that you thought was your sister is actually your mother." He didn't know. He was in his 30s, like it was Chinatown time, and he had no idea. And this reporter fucking dropped it on him on an otherwise fucking harmless like phone interview, like, you know.
Oh my god.
Fucking dude, interviewer had no idea that Jack Nicholson didn't know that.
That was pretty common. That was pretty common.
But that's crazy. It
was very common in Ireland.
But that's nuts that it was just like dropped on his head like that.
Yeah.
Also, fair play to this lad and his research, like, you know.
How did he
that shit that Jack Nicholson didn't know about his own fucking life?
That can't be true. Is that true?
Apparently so. Yeah, it's true.
Holy shit.
Anyway, I said put a pin in that and then I forget what you said. Buttheads make the most sense.
I can't remember what I was saying either. You know, that was very common. That was very common in Ireland, like. Because it was, you know, it was a good way of getting around.
But if you were to find out about it, you might find out from your own family. And not.
It's probably the best way you could find out about it.
But,
I mean, compared, if the other alternative is a reporter from Variety.
Some rag.
It was a tough one, isn't it? Weird. I kind of respect that, though. It was a way around the, we're around the sort of the abortion snafu and the fucking Magdalene Laundry snafu. It tells, to me, it tells me that ordinary people were able to divine right from wrong in a way that their institutions were not.
Yeah, no, that makes sense.
It's like, okay, we'll just say she's your sister. Say he's your brother. And we won't be fucking selling him to a fucking laundry, and we won't be fucking sending them across to England.
It was a crazy story. I only heard that today. I was listening to Smodcast earlier. I kind of like Kevin Smith. I know he's like,
see, he'd be from that kind of, he'd be from, funny enough, he'd be from that kind of Catholic sort of stock as well, wouldn't he?
Yeah.
I like that. I think it speaks well of people.
I
know it sounds like hypocrisy to today's youth and you'd be shaking our fists and all the rest, but I still think it was a way of navigating the water that let people do least harm. I like it. I respect it. I respect people. Buttheads make the most sense. I'm sick of people with ideologies telling you why other people are fucking shites. I'm sick of that. I would rather have people like Bill Burr. Occasionally Bill Burr shows up on my YouTube stream and it's always refreshing because he's like, yeah!
I don't give a fuck. Like, he gives a fuck. You think he gives a fuck?
He was talking about Colin Kaepernick, which, by the way,
what is all that? Please, I'm so bad at keeping up with these things. What's that all about?
I'm trying to fucking, my main problem is I don't know whether people are dissing Nike or praising Nike with all these memes that have flooded the world.
Yeah, I can't make head. I should have just read an article that would have explained it, but like,
I read a couple of articles and it didn't super explain it. I think people are angry with Nike. He was kneeling during the national anthem, you know that, because of the police brutality. And stuff,
yeah, okay.
Which to me is perfectly, I don't see the big deal.
No, it's taking a stand, yeah. Opposite, but you know what I mean.
But it's taking a stand in a very respectful and civilized and reasonable way. I think it's perfectly good. And I think anybody who has a problem with that is really showing their colours that they have a different problem deep down. Because I don't see what the problem with somebody doing something so respectful. Like, kneeling is inherently disrespectful. Really? Really? Like, for thousands of years, we've kneeled religion before God. The penitent man is humble. He kneels before God.
Do you remember that?
No, what's that?
Oh, no, you don't know the Indiana Joneses. Fuck you, Dan, that you don't know the Indiana Joneses.
Fuck me all of a sudden.
The penitent man is humble. He kneels before God.
The arse, the fucking Harrison Ford in a hat.
I'm fucking swapping that with you.
Fuck Indiana Jones.
I'm swapping that this week.
Fuck Indiana
That's
Jones.
That's what you'll be watching that for next week.
I'll just turn up here next Sunday and be like, yeah, I didn't watch it. No, I wouldn't do that.
He's,
But don't go swapping, like, fucking canons of films.
The thing is,
like,
you would enjoy it if you watched it.
Look, I'm sure
there's nothing. There's nothing you could be offended by in Indiana Jones.
What if I got on that boat now on the Indiana Jones train and all of a sudden started wearing a hat and like was just like, I just, where has this fucking thing been all my life? All of a sudden I'm obsessed with Indiana Jones. Do you really want to do that to me?
There's only four films.
Yeah, but sure, there's only four films. Underground albums, Niall.
Yeah, and I have been wearing a lot of cock rings. So people feel that this is the most offensive thing you could possibly do, and they've just been angry. It's racist. There's no two ways about it.
I don't know anything. I'd see this.
What he's doing is not offensive. It's perfectly reasonable, and.
So why are people fucked off with Nike then?
Because the NFL have stopped him from playing or something. I don't know. They've kicked him out. He's not able because he won't stand for the national anthem. He's being, shunned by the NFL. Jesus. But Nike have given him this big deal. And look, people are rightly saying Nike don't give a fuck. They're just trying to write, which is true, obviously. But also, I want that guy to have a retirement plan. I think he's being shamefully treated. I think it's absolutely fine that he's doing what he's doing. Not fine. Admirable that he's doing what he's doing. So if Nike, this fucking soulless corporation, if he can suck a few fucking dollars out of that fucking grim tit, I'm fucking quite happy for him. Like,
grim tit.
Whatever, I don't know. I just wasn't planned. I didn't know I was going to be talking about this.
It's a heavy metal band.
Grim Tit.
Grim Tit!
Welcome to Grim Tit!
Oh, it's a terrible strip club. Grim Tit.
Listen, anyway, all these memes are coming up, and I think people are just trying to be funny. I don't think people really know whether they're for it or against it, or... it's all bullshit. The man's fucking perfectly fine. Fair play to you, Colin. Colin, I know nothing about American football. I don't follow American football. I don't know you. Maybe you're an asshole. But what you're doing here is not asshole-ish. And fair play to you for doing it. So there you go.
That's Niall's two cents on the whole thing.
Well, I feel like I've captured a moment. And I might be drunk.
Yeah, wasn't that a Stephen Wright joke? It's like, why is it a penny for your thoughts, but you give your two cents?
Anyway, Disenchantment Day.
I liked it. I liked it while it was on.
It dissolved on your tongue.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it was... I don't remember what the story was, but
I've
then
been
again...
watching too much Bake Off, haven't I?
It dissolves
in your tongue, doesn't it?
But I can understand why people want to watch Bake Off and just sort of fucking zone out.
Here. This is the same as that.
Yeah.
I got the same thing out of Disenchantment as I got out of Bake Off.
But that's like... I don't know at what point it was sort of decided that we had to think about TV shows like they were great novels or something. Like, you know... Why can't it just be like...
It was around the time of The Wire and Breaking Bad and Battlestar Galactica. Yeah.
First off,
right.
Like, I don't know The Wire. I haven't seen it. Breaking Bad is not a fucking novel. Breaking Bad is like fucking Grindhouse. Fucking, you know... It's tarred up a little bit, but it's not a million miles away from he's a teacher who fucking makes drugs.
It's Death Wish, isn't it? He was an ordinary man until they pushed him too far.
And I felt like Breaking Bad were just introducing characters so that Walt could do something awful to them, like, after a while.
Like what?
Like fucking Jesse's girlfriend, like...
Do you want him with Jessica Jones? That was like, the second series.
No, was that not the third?
No, it was the second.
Alright, you know a better night.
No, it definitely was the second.
So the best description I heard of it was that after a while, fucking Walt was just like this bad guy in a fucking silent film, like twirling his mustache, like, you know,
there was
standing over the train tracks. Like,
but that's, you know, how it was. You kept being kind of with Walt.
I was never with Walt.
I was with Walt.
Maybe in the first season, but after a while, you're just like, oh, go fuck yourself.
Yeah, in the first season, I was with him. Then you ended up being, oh, somebody has to fucking bring you to justice. Somebody, and he keeps pushing it farther and farther, but he keeps getting away with it against higher and higher odds. See, for higher and higher stakes.
My opinion on it isn't worth a shite, because I didn't watch it when it was on. I wasn't caught up in it in the same way everybody else was. I catch up on everything later.
So do I.
I'm not on the cutting edge with fucking anything.
So do I, but that's a good thing, because the cutting edge is the worst place to make any kind of reasonable judgment. People get run down in the middle of the road.
But I just I catch on to everything late.
You can't judge anything on the from the cutting edge. You need to let it settle a little bit.
Yeah.
People lose their minds.
This Atlanta is supposed to be really good, the Donald Glover thing. Mm. People are fucking losing their minds over that thing.
Yeah,
which means it's probably shit.
Yeah, well, people like him, don't they?
I like that. Well, I don't know the Childish Gambino stuff that well, but he was a writer on 30 Rock. He was on Community.
Yeah, it's alright.
He's involved in an awful lot of things that I like. Have you seen it? I haven't seen it.
Yeah. It's fine.
It's just another fucking Star Wars shaped thing.
I will say, it had a mountain to climb with me, because it opens... I hope this is like first act stuff, so I hope this doesn't count as spoilers.
Spoilers,
Frank. With the spoiler, yeah, Frank, you will think it's a spoiler, so plug your ears again.
Anything that's not the name.
Yeah, sorry, Frank. Just plug your ears for 2 minutes. In the opening act, they're doing this job. They're like grifters, they're like thieves, they're like professional thieves, and they go to do this job, and it ends up with this mad suicide run. And I'm like, wait. You're professional thieves. The minute anything goes wrong, you do a suicide run? Why don't you just get the fuck out of there? Why do you have to make it this big dramatic thing? And that was never answered for me, by the way. That was just like, apparently, oh, that's what thieves do. You go on mad suicide runs. It's like, no. Just get the fuck out of there. Your immediate reaction should have been, oh, we fucked up. Let's get out of here, lads. And see if we can get away. But they didn't. It was like, let's take on this impossible odds. I just remember thinking, are you idiots? Why are you doing this?
I think, mate, you're asking narrative miracles for something aimed at fucking 10-year-olds, like, you know.
It's no wonder we're a nation of 10-year-olds.
Yeah, I mean,
it's no wonder.
Like, I think... Yeah,
the Western world is.
It should be a simple, dumb story, because that's, they're trying to entertain kids, like, you know.
Yeah, so don't. Yeah, but like, why kill yourself? I mean, what?
I haven't seen it. I'll never see it. I'll go to my fucking grave not having seen Han Solo fucking film.
If it's on telly over Christmas, have a watch. It's fine.
No one goes in our sitting room. I won't see it. I'll be in the kitchen hunched over the fucking table watching fucking knows what on
Bake Off. Looking for some tips. You the kooks.
Fucking end up with back problems just because for some reason no one will go into our sitting room.
Anyway, I think Disenchantment and Bake Off are kind of the same thing. They're disposable. In the moment, you kind of know what they are. My only problem is Bake Off knows what it is, whereas Disenchantment keeps seeming to reach to be something more.
I don't think Matt Groening has it in him to do something like that. I think he's a cartoonist. Like, he's always after the gag.
The Demon annoyed me.
I thought he was funny. I laughed every time someone called him a cat.
Yeah, I enjoyed that everybody seems to accept that he's a talking cat. Because it is, they do kind of draw attention to this idea that, oh, it's this magical world, so actually, what makes sense and what doesn't make sense? And even the characters are like, yeah, okay, maybe a cat could talk.
Do you know what someone did say? That every show that Matt Groening has been involved with has featured a heavy drinker.
Barney? Bender?
Fucking Homer.
Yeah, most of those guys.
Be in Disenchantment.
Yeah. All I felt was like, I think Lucy, the demon, is emblematic of the whole thing. Because he'll say awful things,
really, if you actually sat down and thought of them, really terrible things. And then when push comes to shove, he never does terrible things. He has multiple opportunities where he can make things go terribly wrong for all the characters. But and he just wusses out.
Like, is he not just a demon that's just looking to skive now? Do you think he's skiving?
Maybe, but that was... Maybe, but they're going to have to make that much clearer for me. Maybe I'm a bit simple. They're going to have to make...
Yeah, out of the two of us, you're the simple one.
In many ways, I'm a simple man. But I need them to make that clear. I need them to make it clear that they know what they're doing there. Because I feel like they're just... It's lazy. Oh, have him say something awful and then people will know he's awful. It's like, no, if he says awful things and then does the right thing every time a moral choice is put in front of him, he's not an awful person. He's just a wanker.
I don't know.
That's like two different things. Like, I know guys like that. He's just a fucking poser. Don't worry about him. He's just a poser.
People are starting to look at something like The Simpsons now like it's untouchable. Literary, it's like every other television show. They were trying to put a television show together every week and they were just getting by doing the best that they could. And I think this isn't really any different. I think it would benefit, like you say, from being a week to week thing and maybe figuring things out a little bit more. But I don't know. I think we fucking put these other old shows up on a pedestal that they don't necessarily deserve to be on. Like, you know,
I think they wasted Sharon Horgan.
I think if you have Sharon Horgan on your show and she's not a fucking...
Yeah, but if you have Sharon Horgan on your... If you have Sharon Horgan on your show and it's not the Sharon Horgan show, then you're kind of wasting her. Because who's funnier, really? Like, you know...
Nobody else in this is funnier.
Well, who else is on it?
Nobody else in that has made
Matt Berry's very
as much as... Sure. Yeah, but he's doing... The same. Yeah, have he's you doing seen Matt The Toast Berry. Of America?
I
watched one episode.
Is it good?
I haven't watched the second... You know what? I don't know. Maybe the second series, the second episode, would maybe go, oh, that's what that was. But,
Can't be art. Is that Arthur Matthews?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Has he done good stuff on his own?
Did that Val Falvey.
I wanted to like that.
That is exactly how I feel about it.
I watched the ads and I thought, that should be great. It's just so perfect.
And there were moments in it that made you go, yeah, almost. And it just... And that's what The Toast of London is like.
Yeah, I mean, I remember watching... I picked up Hippies somewhere on DVD, which is the sitcom he did, and yeah. Simon Pegg was in it. And yeah. Like,
I saw one episode of that, too. Was it any good?
No, it wasn't.
Poor Arthur Matthews. But then, what has Graham Linehan done that was as good as Father Ted?
Okay, look. Father Ted was funny. It was no fucking masterpiece, now. It was a funny show, but it was shite as well. Like, you know... Why are you looking at me like that? There was a lot of Ted that went for the obvious fucking joke. There was a lot of low-hanging fruit in Father Ted, is what I'm saying. Now, when I was fucking watching it when I was 15, did that bother me? No. Do I still love that show and love all those actors? Yes. But I think The IT Crowd is probably a better written show than Father Ted was.
No, it's not.
And fucking Count Arthur Strong's very funny.
No. Oh, fuck off.
I'm just saying.
I will not let the revisionists take both Ernest Hemingway and Father Ted from me. Fuck it. I'm holding on to both of them. Actually, you're not having either Ernest Hemingway or Father Ted.
It's
a funny show,
but it's no work of genius, like, you know.
It's hilarious.
Yeah.
It makes you laugh.
Yes, I'm not. I said it was a funny show. Why is it? Why do we
have
to? What
are you asking for from a comedy then?
But a lot less than you, by the looks of things.
The old Grey Whistle Theft was on after Sarah Millican last night.
Yeah, that's a funny episode. But then
fucking made me laugh.
Then you've got another fucking episode that's all about sheep.
That is a brilliant episode.
No, it's not.
Oh,
no.
Fuck it's off. Not.
It fucking
fuck
is.
Fuck off. It is a
There's
brilliant.
Funny moments in it, but it's not a brilliant episode of anything.
Chirpy like, Burpy Cheap Sheep.
Even the name's annoying.
Chirpy Burpy Cheap Sheep is annoying now.
How
what about the guy
know?
At the end who's like, fucking hell.
I forget. What was that?
Do you remember when Father Ted makes his revelation?
Oh, the guy keeps saying, Are we really... Is that the moment you're going to use to fucking...
No, the moment I'm going to use is... You didn't count on the vanity of your accomplices, who used their newfound wealth, who... No, what was it? Who splurged their newfound wealth by buying a fur coat and a crown.
The two moments you've mentioned, they take up fucking 11 seconds.
That is one of my all-time favourite lines from Father Ed. I guarantee you, in ordinary conversation, that comes up again.
Do you know the thing that was funny about that? Was that like... You see him on his bike with the fur coat on him, and it's the least glamorous looking thing in the world. It's still like a shitty, rainy West of Ireland landscape, but he's just on his bike in a fur coat.
And then in the flashback, when Ted's telling everything in the flashback, like Poirot at the end, it's the same scene, except he's got a big sort of Beano fucking price tag hanging off the fur coat.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That's
like
right,
£5,000
yeah.
on it.
I don't know. Look, I thought there was a lot of... There's a lot of cheap stuff going on. You've got to
search for the hero inside yourself. Do you remember that? The Lonesome Float Isolation Tank Company?
Yeah, but that was... That stuff wasn't even that funny. That didn't make me laugh when I was watching it, really. Like, you know.
It made me laugh.
But I'm just saying...
And that's all that matters.
It's a funny show. I'm not taking anything away from it. But to think that, like, oh, well, then that was it. Then neither of those lads will do anything. Like, that's bollocks. Like, you know.
Look.
I've enjoyed the IT Crowd just as much as I enjoyed Father Ted. But I'm not 15. So it's not necessarily the same.
No, I haven't enjoyed the IT Crowd as much as Father Ted. I haven't.
Well, I don't know what to tell you.
There's some very funny bits. The episode where he's "I'm disabled" was very funny. There's a lot of funny episodes.
Yeah, there's lots of funny episodes.
Yeah, but I have an awful lot of fondness for Father Ted. Like, people say the Christmas special of Father Ted is shite. I think
it's too long, man. It's fucking...
No, it's hilarious.
It's not hilarious.
It's hilarious.
There's really funny moments in it, but by the end of it, it's like, fucking hell.
It's hilarious.
It's not hilarious.
It's hilarious.
I didn't find it hilarious.
I found it.
Hilarious?
Hilarious.
I didn't find Disenchantment hilarious, but it made me giggle, and I comfortably watched through it, and it didn't fucking ruffle me feathers in any way. Apart from the fact that I think it's trying to suggest it's edgier than it really is. It's not edgy. It's not even remotely
well,
edgy.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. And they did their best to get all the edgy people on it, like Abby from Broad City and Noel Fielding and all these people. But, yeah, Matt Groening can't do... Like, I know back in the day people kind of thought The Simpsons was edgy, but, like, Matt Groening... Whatever edge he had when he was doing his cartoons and stuff, he doesn't have that now.
When
you
think that The Simpsons... came out contemporaneously with Brass Eye, it if you had to pick the edgy one of those two, like, it does not even close. Like,
yeah, I suppose that's true.
Yeah, that's a fair point. But then don't try to be edgy.
I watched this
with Bake Off, and they scratched almost the same spot for me, except that with Bake Off it didn't pretend to be something it wasn't, and I kind of get the feeling this is pretending to be something it's not.
So, yeah, no, I know what you're saying. I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it more because all the trailers I saw for it, I thought, oh, God, why are they getting Matt Groening to do a fucking Netflix thing? This is going to be fucking terrible.
Do you pay attention to trailers?
No, but, like, obviously you can't miss that one. Elfo looks like is dressed the same as Bart. Like, you know...
I'm drowning!
I'm Elfo.
So when you see even a still for that, you're just like, oh shit, it's a Matt Groening thing.
Mm.
So you don't even need to see a trailer. The thing sticks out. But then when Netflix comes on, trailers just come on unbidden now on Netflix, which is really annoying. But
yeah,
like, I'm not watching the Kelsey Grammer, Kristen Bell thing. I'm just not, right?
I don't know.
I like her well enough. I like Fraser. I don't know if I like Kelsey Grammer very much, but I like Fraser. I'm probably not going to watch the father-daughter Kristen Bell Fraser film, okay?
Or Magic for Humans.
What's the thing? Big News or something? They keep getting me to try and
watch
that.
Yeah, they keep trying.
What is that?
I don't know. I've never watched. My just big thing is, like, what algorithm pops Magic for Humans? I've never watched David Blaine. I never watched David Copperfield. I never watched fucking Dynamo Magician Impossible. I never watched, in my entire life, I have never watched a magician.
Not even Paul Daniels?
I remember when he used to do, what was the kids' TV show we used to do magic at the end of? But it was triangle. The Adventures of Triangle and His Friends.
Oh, fuck. No, you're... I've heard that song, all right.
Yeah, that's from a TV show. Kids' TV show. Paul Daniels used to be on at the end of it.
Man, I have no recollection of that.
I don't know what the fuck is wrong. I think people who like Bake Off might watch Musicians. So now it tells me.
From cake to magic in one easy step.
So now it keeps recommending me, watch this Magic for Humans, Niall. You might like this.
But do Netflix make it themselves?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's why. That's the only reason they're pimping.
They only
that.
Push their own stuff.
Yeah, they're not up there going, watch old episodes of fucking Porridge or whatever. Like, you know.
That's a good fucking point.
You know what I mean?
They should have seen. Shit. As soon as they got the rights to Porridge, they should have been like, Niall, guess what we got?
Yeah, but they don't. They're like, watch this fucking thing.
Yeah, all right. Fair enough.
So, Niall, what are you thinking for the next episode?
Well, it's interesting you should say that simple thing, Danny. That simple phrase, if you will. I want you to watch Ex Machina.
What happened to the other thing you were talking about?
I'm not 110% sure.
And the He-Man documentary was going to be a breeze. What is this thing?
It's Ex Machina.
Ex Machina. Okay.
This will be a breeze too. It's shorter.
Okay.
Actually, I'm making that up on the spot. I don't know that it's shorter. But it's not a long film. It's a simple little film.
Fair enough. Is it a sci-fi thing or what's
it is, on? But think of it as a haunted house film and you'll get along just fine.
Fucking Kermode likes it.
It's heard him mention it. It's very hard not to like.
Fair enough. Do you want an album or a TV show?
Give me an album.
Okay. I want you to listen to Laura Marling's album. I'm going to have
to... Oh, wait. Give me a TV show.
No, sorry. Laura Marling's album. What's the...
I need to double check the name. It's got Femina in it, but I think it's Super Femina or something.
Oh, good.
Femina.
Is it... that was me. Sorry about that.
Are you not fed up with me now that you're going to just start watching YouTube?
Femina, is it a big feminist text?
It's fulfilling, it's filling a similar place in my head at this age that Astral Weeks did.
Oh.
When I was, a few years, Semper Femina, I knew it was weird now, I was never going to remember
Semper Femina,
that.
Like Semper Fi.
Sure. If like, you like.
Who says that? Is it the Marines or the Army? Semper Fi.
Hasta la victoria, siempre. That's a different thing.
Okay, well, I feel like I really did my bit for feminism this week when I glowered at a man who was shouting at a lady taxi or lady ambulance driver.
So,
but I listened to it, I suppose.
It was I've already forgotten the name of it.
Semper Femina.
At work now, I do 4 days a week now, and I do they're 2 hours longer, but the last 2 hours of every day is just emails. So I just pop on my headphones and listen to music while I'm doing emails.
That sounds pretty good.
Oh, it's fucking great. But I listened to this Laura Marling album all the last week. I've listened to it maybe 7 or 8 times all the way through at this
point.
That's
good. Like, I'll have a listen. Semper Femina. And you have a watch of...
Ex Machina.
Ex Machina.
So that's it from us. Thanks very much for listening. I've been Daniel Hannon.
I appreciate you listening as well, listeners. My name is Niall McCann. Sorry.
Yeah, and we'll be back... at some point in the future.
Same bat time, same bat channel.
Somewhere in between 2 weeks and 8 months. We'll see how it works out. Cheerio. You can't help the wind, but if you try